This week, it's Christmas in July with the reveal of new imported games for VR, and the Kingdom Hearts 3 train finally disembarks with the content reveal at Disney's D23. We have plenty more from the week's gaming news, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on July the 16th of 2017, episode number 694 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you every week with my co-hosts right over there. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very full.
Yes. Do you have a little lunch for the show? It's more like dinner with the time of this show. It's dinner.
I had my Frappuccino, and my stomach's been upset since last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Dan took me to Chevy's and Peppers. Don't play nice.
Yeah. Mm.
So, but yeah. Otherwise, okay.
Otherwise, hanging in there. That's good. I saw you. You're still in the boot with your cast, but you said something about this is your third boot.
This is my third boot. The second one, because not this past Friday, but the one before that, I got my second change.
Uh-huh.
And they made it way too thin, and it started to... Apparently, I kick a lot in my sleep.
Uh-huh.
And the thing split. Because I can apparently kick fiberglass apart.
Wow.
So they made it triple thick, and this one's lasting. And it's harder to walk in, but it's coming off on the 25th, so.
Is that a sugar thing? Like, if you have sugar before bed? Because Alan says it on the, okay, this is so embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So, like, sometimes we'll have, like, Slurpees for 7-Eleven, because we live right near one, and Slurpees are really good. And they have this cotton candy Slurpee right now. So, like, maybe, we don't do it every day, but, like, maybe, like, once a week I'll have a Slurpee. And sometimes I'm stupid and I have it right before bed. And Alan says if I do that, it's like, I will kick, like, in my sleep. Like, it's really bad. And he says it's the sugar's fault.
I just do that anyway.
Oh. Hmm.
Are
you doing kung fu in your sleep?
I'm a very active dreamer, apparently.
I see.
So.
Kicking lots of MRAs in your sleep.
I've fallen out of bed twice with this on. I wish I were kidding, but I'm not. And I hit my head pretty hard the first time.
Yikes. Well, I'm glad you're okay, all things considered.
Thank you.
All right.
But, yeah, the boot, I'm ready for it to go.
All right. How much longer?
25th.
Okay, so that's not too bad. So
next Sunday will be my last Sunday with it on.
Nice. All right, cool. We'll also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm also full.
Yeah? Are you doing your whole dozen breadsticks and all that?
Yeah, it's just because of the breadstick size. Whoever's making these breadsticks...
Needs a lesson.
They're doing it wrong because, I used to make these breadsticks, and they're not supposed to be this large because it's too much dough. The ratio of the dough to everything else is way off, and I can tell just by looking at it, it's like, okay, some dumbass is using the wrong dough for this shit,
mm-hmm.
But whatever. So that's why, like, because the one time I get six is when they're going to fucking make it right, and it's going to be too little, so whatever. This way I can share. So she's had three new boots put on, so I guess mm-hmm. this is a reboot.
Did you think of that joke in all the minutes before OLR tonight?
No, just like a few seconds.
Oh, I see.
And I'm pretty sure that, you know, you're not like, you know, kicking because of sugar. You're just chasing the mailman, so it's fine.
I'm chasing what?
The mailman. Because dogs, they chase.
It doesn't even make sense. You think when I'm asleep, I dream I'm a dog? Well, if I did dream I was a dog, I'd be a corgi because they're so cute. And I want to belong to the Queen of England.
Was it Flacco Jones the other day?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, I was telling him, like, the other day, I was so tired. I was falling asleep in my dream. Like, in my dream, I'm like, man, I want to just, like, fall asleep right now.
I dreamt about taking a nap.
Like, I'm like, I want to take another nap. It's like sleepception there. But he's like, yeah, the other day I had a dream where I was a cat and I was laying on a bed. I'm like, was it, like, from your perspective as a cat? Or were you just, like, looking at a cat on a bed and it was, like... I don't know. It was just a funny conversation.
Dreams are weird, man.
They are.
All right. Games. It is a video game show, believe it or not. You know, but I'm going to be real with you all this week. It was a slow news week this week. I mean, there's some things to talk about, but it's kind of a slower week. I guess with it being summertime and people taking their summer vacations.
Yeah, it's relatively
E3
after
E3. Yeah, E3, you know, everybody kind of said everything they had to say a month ago, so it's slowing down a bit. So tangents, they're inevitable. But talking about games a little bit, obviously we have this ongoing saga here on OLR about Loki develops his own game. And there's been a few weeks where you're kind of like, yeah, I've been too busy. Yeah, I have ideas, but you said you worked on your game this week.
A little bit,
this
yeah.
is not the car game, though.
No, this is not the car game.
We need to let the car go.
This is casually, well, and I haven't given up on that. It's just I want to do something different with it. And even my son the other day, he's all, are you going to work on the car game anymore? I'm like, God damn it.
Aw, like, good job. Aw, we need to get the Dark Soccer, we need to get that kid a cookie. Now the kid's getting on Loki about the game.
Aw.
I'm like, well, no, I'm not working on it right now. I'm working on something else, you know. But anyway, so, like, I was working on this. Like, I don't even know if I'm, like, really entering the game jam. Because, like, I've been, like I said, I've been really tired. Like, as I mentioned, I've had a dream where I was dream about sleeping some more. So I've been, like, exhausted. And I've tried working on it. And actually, I've had a few days where it's been, like, I had a moment. And I'm able to just, like, kind of focus and actually work on stuff. And so I did. I've been trying to, you know, build out the basic stuff for, like, a clicker game. So I have, like, the thing that I worked on a little bit was actually getting the amounts to display correctly. Because, you know, you're clicking on stuff and you can't really just have a number increment up. You know, you have to actually do some formatting. Otherwise, you get that weird scientific notation at the end.
Yeah.
Which some people might not want. So you have to, like, specify formatting and stuff to put all the weird names and stuff after it or the abbreviations, everything. So I actually built that. And okay. then... I'm building something else to read an internet clock so that I can, you know, do that. And then, you know, just some basic button stuff for, like, okay, you know, you can purchase this and it increments up each level.
Did you say butt stuff? Oh, button stuff. Button stuff.
Yeah.
Butt and stuff.
Button stuff, yes. So,
what kind of game
just to
kind of
get, like,
Logan?
The framework in place. And then I can work on the actual theme I want to do with it. Afterwards, I have ideas, but it's like I've been really busy at work, so I don't have time to like sit there like in downtime to just kind of think of stuff and, you know, mock stuff out so I can work on it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get home, it's like, okay, what do I need to make? And then, like, you know, it takes me a while to get there, but I've been trying. Just I'm very tired. The problem is I stay up too late because I'm tired and I want to work on something and I get frustrated. So I end up staying up too late, which makes me tired the next day. It's an endless cycle.
I see. Yeah. No, I know how it is. I stay up until 2 a.m. and then the next day I'm like, boy, I'm tired. I should take a nap. So I take a nap and then I can't get to sleep when I should be going to sleep. So I stay up till 2 a.m. I totally get it. It's a cycle.
Yeah.
It is a cycle. I understand. Hey, we've got a live chat room, of course. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you want to join us live, live.VogNetwork.com. And MXC, unfortunately, in chat reminding us, RIP George Romero. Yeah, that just happened earlier today. George Romero, who made Night of the Living Dead, all those, you know, super famous zombie movies, passed away today. And I know a lot of my friends are bummed about that because, you know, I work a lot with the Horror Film Fest here in SAC because they do the cult movie extension with Rocky Horror and everything. So I know a lot of people are really sad about that. And obviously the guy, you know, I may not be super into scary horror movies, yeah, but I recognize this guy had his trademarks.
Props to him for making all those awesome movies, but...
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, since it's a gaming show, tying it to games a little bit, a game like Dead Rising was straight up Night of the Living
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many games that his movies have inspired, you know.
It is horrible now that he's passed. Who's going to make the zombie movies and or games now? I mean, there literally is no one filling that void.
Well, he obviously.
I beg to differ. Have you seen Train to Busan?
I think that's a joke.
It was a joke. Yes, I understand.
Okay. No, the end.
I'm saying that there's a lot of zombie movies and or games out there in the market.
Loki, you don't understand. George Romero now becomes a zombie.
We can only hope. And he ironically starts the zombie apocalypse. I mean, it's the irony and it's best.
I'm not trying to be an asshole, I promise. But sometimes you have to see the lighthearted things and what is otherwise horrible.
I think he would be proud if he became a zombie.
Exactly. I think he'd be proud. I think he'd be excited that people were talking about how to turn him into a zombie. I think so. Also passed away today, Martin Landau. Which I must admit was one of those things where when I heard that, I was like, didn't that happen 2 years ago? I felt horrible. But that was another best supporting actor Oscar winner that I remember from years ago that had passed away a couple years ago. But no, Martin Landau, actually, he passed today, so that's a bummer, too. I can't think of anything directly involving games with him. I think he's more of like a character actor from a lot of movies, and people remember him. Ed Wood was probably one of his more famous roles that he got nominated for all those Oscars for. So, yeah, kind of feeling some loss in Hollywood today. And, of course, Do y'all buy into that superstition that things come in threes?
Well, Stan Lee's getting old.
No. Bite your tongue.
Actually,
bite
that is kind of bad because his wife just died.
Right. Yeah. Shame on you, Loki. Shame. Did Zsa Zsa Gabor finally pass? Did that finally happen?
An age ago.
Oh, did...
Really?
Because that's who I would always throw out there when it's like we're looking for a third. That was kind of like your safe, non-offensive answer was Zsa Zsa Gabor. But now, shit, I need somebody new now.
I'll take a Kardashian. I mean, they've got a lot of them. Come on, they're not going to miss one of them.
Who's?
Yeah, she died on December 18th last year.
Who's like 99 in Hollywood right now?
Do we have Stan Lee?
No. Stan Lee's early 90s, and he's a national treasure. I'm not even going to joke about it.
Dick Van Dyke.
Sasha Velour says, don't joke about that.
Dick Van Dyke is in his late 90s.
Oh. What about Jerry Lewis? Is Jerry Lewis still alive? We're looking at that right now. Oh, how?
Jerry Lewis is still alive.
Okay, Jerry.
He would be 99.
Okay, there it is, Jerry Lewis.
Sorry, 91.
Oh.
Speaking damn of it. You know,
I just had
room,
my answer.
Everyone's seen Betty White, which...
How
I'm sorry.
Dare
I'm
First
sorry.
Of all, no. First of all, this is a scolding from me to the chat room. You don't see me right now, but I'm wagging my finger at you. How dare you utter Betty White's name in this topic? How dare you? How very dare.
Okay. So actors in their 90s.
Yes.
And I'm trying to pick names that people like today would know. Olivia de Havilland.
Okay.
Is 100.
Wow.
Which is, you know, she sued for her likeness used in The Feud.
Yes. I heard about that. Yes. And they're just, you know.
Kirk Douglas is 100.
Okay. Kirk Douglas. Oh, my gosh. I thought Kirk Douglas had passed.
Nope.
Okay.
Carol Channing, 96.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Salas, 96.
Oh, God. Carol Channing is kind of immortal, though.
Betty White is 95. Carl Reiner's 95. Doris Day is 95.
SSJ, this is a morbid topic, you guys. SSJ 100 Matt links us to a website called isabevagodadead.com. He finally did pass last year. That I know. That one I know.
Gene Porter, 94.
All right. Anyway.
Yes, because I remember the Conan O'Brien tribute, you know, to him because he had, you know, been on the show several times.
Sure. All right, I'm going with Kirk Douglas. If Kirk Douglas is 100, like that's a good long solid life.
Oh, June
that's
Lockhart's
my,
still
don't,
alive.
That's my new.
Don't
safe
worry,
answer.
There'll be plenty of people killed tonight in the new episode of Game of Thrones. It'll offset everything, right?
Shh, don't tell people about the competition. Don't tell people.
They
about
know.
It.
They
I
know.
I didn't realize that Angela Lansbury is 91.
Oh my gosh, really?
Dick Van Dyke is also 91. I mentioned
all right,
him.
Close that page, Jamie. We need to talk about video games. No more old
now
celebrities.
I see who all these people.
All right,
are. Mel Brooks. Is 90.
Be quiet. Jamie, stop. All right.
Mel Brooks also needs a protective barrier.
I am coming over there to close the lid to your computer.
Okay, last one. Sidney Poitier.
Fine. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about video games. Speaking of bands, that's the kickoff topic I want to get into tonight. So Jamie's just banned old celebrities from our show. So let's talk a little bit about video game bands because there's been some chat in some various news stories. And I have like a little bit of a personal anecdote as well about bands in video games. So Splatoon 2 had its kind of its pre-kickoff event. I don't know what else to call it. Well, it was Splatfest is what it was. But it was kind of like a pre-kickoff to Splatoon because mm-hmm. the game isn't really out until next Friday because Nintendo games are Friday, right? Yeah. So it's out on Friday, but they did a pre-Splatfest thing with a special download, and you got to participate in the first Splatfest, which was Team Cake versus Team Ice Cream. Team Ice Cream won, which was the wrong answer because I'm Team Cake. And I'm hearing this whole – they actually had dialogue in the game that had this whole like ice cream is now better than cake. That's the law. Well, I'm sorry then. I'm a lawbreaker because ever since I had my gallbladder out, I don't eat ice cream. Because those of you that had your gallbladder out know what happens with certain foods. And ice cream is the one for me. So dot. I don't eat ice cream anymore. So you know what? I'm going to be a lawbreaker. Cake is fine. I can eat all the cake in the world. So until ice cream stops making me physically sick, I'm always going to be team cake, and you're going to have to deal with it. But anyway, that's not – I did not bring that up to have a cake versus ice cream argument all fucking night, because Lord knows we're only a couple weeks away from another Splatfest and a whole nother thing to get mad at our friends about. My point was is that we got to see a little bit of the game in action with this whole, you know, Splatoon 2. And I got to play a little bit of it during my gaming week. Is my mic cutting out? I can't tell. Or is it just – sorry, guys. I couldn't tell if my mic was cutting out. They are hearing it cut out in there. So, sorry. I need to do
okay. – Time to go shopping.
Yeah, I know, right? I might be out of backup mics. This is bad. And backup cables. All right. Well, I'm just going to do my best to keep it running. That's the joy of live radio, everybody. Does anybody have duct tape? That's the way you fix everything, right? All right. Anyway. So, where was I? Okay. So, yes. Cake versus ice cream. And my point was yeah, the thing is, this is the second cable. This isn't even, or maybe it's the mixing board. I don't know. Anyway, well, it's money and money, more money I get to spend on the studio. Anyway, where was I going? Yeah, where was I going with this? Oh, yes. So you got to see a preview of Splatoon 2 in action, right? So they were doing the whole Splatfest. You actually got to play some stages in the game. You got to do some multiplayer. No single player action or any of that, or the co-op mode. If you want to see that, you're going to have to buy Splatoon 2 when it comes out. But one thing that people were noticing is that if you were disconnecting from matches purposefully, Splatoon was warning you that you were about to get the smackdown. A Twitter user got a screenshot that said, and this is a message that popped up in the game, "Your previous online play session didn't end naturally, which is pretty suspicious. If this keeps happening, we're going to have to block you from playing online for a while. Make sure your internet isn't busted and try again." So kind of an interesting little disclaimer there from Nintendo that's like, we don't care if this is your internet's fault. If your internet is busted, don't be doing this right now. So I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you guys think of Nintendo's rule there?
I don't have a problem with their people that are disconnecting. I mean, it's going to be hard to find out if it's, you know, legitimately someone unplugging their internet or just their internet going out.
Yeah.
So that's fair. Because if it's legitimately your internet that's giving you that much problems, then you're probably not going to be able to play online anyways. If you're not consistently able to stay in a game, then yeah, maybe another game is better for you.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought too, is that you have to know a little bit about your internet connection, and you know, your internet connection being bad could be, you know, it can have an impact on the other people playing the game. So you need to call your internet provider and yell at them a little bit, right? I guess. But I'm kind of curious. I'm sure there's some people out there that are like, I can't help that my internet is cheap. And so it's like, I don't want to sound like, oh, these people aren't allowed to have a good time. But at the same time, it's like if you keep disconnecting from matches, especially these team-based competitions, that has an impact on everybody.
If you're finding that you're dropping from a lot of different games, then I'm sorry. I mean, that's just – you're going to have to get better internet or not play online.
Yeah. Here's Stoppy in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says
that, hey, it's on the Switch. Take your Switch over to your friend's house who has better internet and play it there.
There you go. That's one. Stoppy in chat says, that sucks. I know you have to keep on top of cheaters, but last year I was in a place with really shitty Wi-Fi. I was getting disconnected all the time. Would you be able to switch to wired? If it was your Wi-Fi, could you, or I guess, does the Switch allow you to put a LAN cable in it? I'm not sure if it does.
I don't know if it has a physical LAN thing in there, but you probably have they could use the USB to adapter.
Yeah, that whole thing. I guess there's other ways to do that. All right, so there's that. So there's another story going on here that Valve banned 40,000 Steam users after the Steam sale. So I guess they're saying it's the biggest ban wave that Steam has ever done, eclipsing a record of 15,000 in October 2016. Apparently, these are VAC bans, and you lose access to playing online in any game that supports VAC. That would mean Dota 2, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive. They did the ban for this on this particular day because it prevents them from using the games that they got at a discount during the sale on another account to continue cheating. So the cheaters lost the money that they spent during the sale. Kind of an interesting little way
I'm kind of fine with that.
If you're going to cheat.
And honestly, though, it's not going to really stop them anyways because they're just going to buy another game. mm-hmm. or another, they're just start up another account and do it that way. Yeah. Like they're really just cheating all the time.
So you know, you've seen Valve, you know, try to combat the cheating thing and all this. So now here's my personal anecdote, and then I'm going to get to my question, what all these kind of things have in common with the banning. So yesterday, Alan and I went out. We decided to go play Pokemon Go because sometimes, you know, we needed to get out of the house. We didn't have a lot going on yesterday. It was actually kind of a slower weekend for me. So we went to one of the nearby parks, and we were playing Pokemon Go, and we started taking some of the gyms that were there because there were a lot of red gyms because I play Mystic, and there were a lot of Valor gyms that only have one Pokemon on them. So we're like, oh, this will be easy with two of us to take down. So sure enough, we take one down. So we take down a gym, and then we start walking to the next gym, and we see our first gym is already under attack. You guys probably know where this is going. So we attack another gym, and we walk to it, and sure enough, our first gym gets taken back by the same Valor player that was on it, and we're like, oh, that person must like actually be here. Let's watch him go take the other gym that we just took. So we were going to a third gym, because this is a big park. We're going to a third gym, and we were taking that one down, and we're watching the second gym, which is in a tree grove, right? So you can kind of see if there's anybody in there or around. Nobody's there. But the second gym is being fought. And then the third gym, we kind of like just kind of hang out there for a little bit. We're literally standing right there. The third gym was in an open baseball field. We could see everything. If a person had moved from the second gym to the third gym, we'd be able to see it. Nope. Can't see it. So I reported his ass to Niantic. And I hope all of you that see these cheaters in Pokemon Go do it. You need to be like 99.99% sure you've got a cheater. But hell yeah, I'm going to report it. I reported the cheating in Ingress, and I'm going to report it in Pokemon Go. Fuck cheaters and fuck spoofers. Seriously. It's the worst thing you can do in one of these location-based games, in my opinion. So here's the question I have for all of you guys with these stories like Splatoon and Valve and all this stuff. What is a game company's responsibility to weeding out the cheaters of their game? What do you think a game company's responsibility is in weeding out the cheaters of their game? Do you think that, you know, because the reason why I put it this way is that I think there's a lot of people that when Pokemon Go first came out, they were like, well, nothing's going to get done about spoofers because Niantic doesn't have the staff to handle it. Well, the question would be, should Niantic have had the foresight but to have those game masters?
That's not true, though. Niantic could handle it. They could just examine the data that they have, like the GPS data, because a lot of these spoofing programs that are out there, they'll spoof the X, X and Y, but not the Z. So they're always at the same altitude, never changing, despite the fact that, you know, the landscape might be different. So that's one way to kind of catch people. But and then also reading that extra data, like the cell towers there nearby, because they capture all those Wi-Fi access points. So which Wi-Fi networks are nearby? Can you triangulate, you know, does that match up with what we're showing to be in this area? You know, that type of stuff. They could do it. It's just, are they doing it? Nah.
Kaijudo in chat says something over at live.vognetwork.com that I want to respond to. Kaijudo says, if you're going to report a cheat, it has to be 100%, no doubt, not 99%. Here's why I phrased it the way I did. Because, well, for all I know, there's an underground tunnel system. Or this guy's a Ninja Turtle that lives in the sewers. I don't know. Maybe there is a reasonable explanation, but all I know is that I am looking all around me. There's no cars. There's no people. Like, as far as I can see to the eye, this guy ain't there. So the reason why I say that is that I am 99% certain when I report it. Hold on. Oh. But Niantic should be 100% when they ban it. But Niantic can see and whatever game it is. I'm using Pokemon Go in this case. But whatever game it is, the game maker should be 100% sure when they do the ban. But they have access to logs, records, and things that I can't see. They can see this guy's full activity. So yes, I think I'm okay saying I'm 99% sure when I report, because maybe there's more than meets the eye here. I don't fucking know. But Niantic should be 100% when they pull the trigger and actually ban. But that's what you're doing. You're filing a request to investigate, basically, right? They're not going to just ban because, oh, Rob reported him. One player reported this guy, so we're going to ban him. Like, that actually would not be okay, because I could just file bans on people I don't like, and that's not okay.
And there's
either.
Some people that do that, but I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But you know,
especially in the other game, Jesus Christ.
Was it like the court system? You know, you have to weigh the facts and come up with a decision. Without with something that's not going beyond your reasonable doubt. So I mean, you've basically looking at the situation. Sure, there could be some weird thing. Like, yeah, it could be in a helicopter or something ridiculous. Which
there was
is
no
probably,
helicopter.
Which is not the case, but like just say, you know, oh, that could maybe be a thing or something, whatever. You know, for if you're just making you, it's not your job to be 100%. It's your job to say, okay, hey, I think this person's cheating. It's for them to figure out if this person is cheating.
Right. And I have a, I, you know, as again, I have a more than reasonable suspicion this person's cheating. And it didn't just, another thing that made me do it was it didn't just happen once. It happened three, actually four times, because then we went back and took the second note again. And we were like, let's make this guy burn a bunch of equipment, haha. But then we kind of thought it through and we're like, if this guy's a spoofer, he's just going to spoof right on over to downtown and load up on Pokestops. It's not even going to matter. Like, we actually have to travel to get the equipment. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Stoppy in chat says, I think the company has a lot of responsibility. If it's in single player, no biggie. But multiplayer cheating has a severe effect on the enjoyment of others. It affects their multiplayer community. If the game goes to shit because multiplayer becomes shit, it's their fault for not clamping down on that.
And at least it's not as bad as Ingress, because Ingress, there's at least actual like gaming and score and stuff like that, and so that really matters. Whereas taking a gym, who cares? They took a gym.
It's my coins. That's what matters. Wow, it's my coins. There.
Wow. Okay. I mean, big deal. It's just a gym. There's no score in the game or really any game yet. It's just, you know, very early. But when there are points and stuff worldwide, yeah, that's going to be a problem. They better fix that shit before that happens.
I want to ask Jamie about this too. What your thoughts on not just necessarily Pokemon Go, but bans and the company's responsibility to it in general. But some other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SHO 100 Matt says, I've had this happen. I was in an open field and nobody was nearby. But this happened when the game came out. You know, who knows? SHO 100 Matt also says, if Niantic had YouTube rules, they would auto-ban people. Mm-hmm. That's true. So anyway, Jamie, what are your thoughts? What is the company's responsibility to the banning of the players?
It is absolutely their responsibility to remove anything that negates the way that the game is meant to be played.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is creating a disadvantage for the people who are following the rules, then they have an obligation to ban those who are not playing by the rules.
Right.
So if they don't have the staff available, then they owe it to themselves to dedicate people to it, either by hiring or outsourcing people to you know, manage those certain functions.
Right.
Absolutely. So end of story. There's nothing to argue about it.
As far as, like, cheating in games and how I feel about it, I mean, this, I think I've mentioned this before, and I think you guys feel similar, but feel free to jump in with your own opinions. In single-player games, I don't give a crap what you do when it comes to cheating. That's a single-player experience. In fact, sometimes cheating is really fucking funny in single-player games. Sometimes, and I remember especially in older games, especially older PC games, it was encouraged, like, you know, typing in some of those cheat codes, right? IDBFG would give you the gun. All that stuff is like DLC
now,
right?
A programmed part into the game now.
I guess that's true. That's true. But, I mean, with single-player games, it doesn't matter. And I think about, like, if you think about it, awesome games done quick, in a way, is kind of like, it's all about cheating, in a way, exploiting. It's a gray line.
But they're not multiplayer. They don't expect other people playing the game.
Exactly. And that's the key difference, is that multiplayer, I have a big problem if people want to cheat a multiplayer, unless they have set up a server on their own, Cheater Island or whatever, to do this.
And I'll even put it this way, and this is in anything, not just gaming, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you do something that puts another party or a group of people at a disadvantage, you have lost your right to participate. End of story. Any, you know, and I understand there's, you know, purposeful negative things, but the point that you do it for your own personal game at the gain at the expense of other people, no.
And that's what kind of pisses me off about the Pokemon Go stuff is there's a lot of spoofers who really take pride in what they're doing and the whole, like, deal with it type of stuff.
Look at me, gyms I captured.
Exactly. And, like, that's, like,
get off your ass.
But, like, seriously, you know, that's not fucking fair that the rest of us are actually traveling these spots and actually out there in the real world, and you feel some sense of pride in having all these gyms that you didn't have to work for. You know what that means? Nothing. It means you're shit. You're a shit player because you have to fucking cheat to get things done. That's what it means. If you are cheating in these games, you are shit. Get off the internet. Or get your own fucking, like, if you want to cheat in Pokemon Go, I'm assuming, go find a way to set up your own server. I'm sure hackers going to hack, right? I'm sure there's a way to set up your own fucking Pokemon Go server. Have a fucking blast, but don't affect the game that the rest of us are playing. That's the whole thing. Same thing with MMOs, like World of Warcraft and all that stuff. If you have your own private World of Warcraft server and stuff, you want to cheat, go.
Man, that Final Fantasy XI server that I was on, where like the leveling's like, okay, it's 10 times faster, you can run 4 times faster, and you get tons more drops and stuff. That was fun. But that was also completely separate, and it's also shut down, and I'm sad that
And the other point about those private servers is that they are built with the intent of having them played that way. Like all the free Ragnarok servers I was on. It was made, it doesn't affect anyone else playing on the ones created and maintained by the owners. So it doesn't matter if you're playing it the way it's not intended to be played. You're not affecting the people who are paying for the service. So.
And I want to mention this in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf, who's before us here on Sunday night, says, some people love being trolls. They like hearing you get upset and call them shit. They just won. Here's the thing. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. In a way, I kind of go like, I'm trolling trolls. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to, like, the way Pokemon Go goes is not going to, like, better or worsen my life. It's a fucking video game. That's the thing. I'm not going to let the trolls have power over me in that sense. But I am going to make it my mission to end their fun. Two can play at this game, bitch. And that's my response. Anyway. anything else on bans before we get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that hopefully we didn't cheat on? I don't know.
Ban whiny man baby cunts.
ban everything. Ban everything enjoyable. All right.
No, I'm just talking about the whiny man babies. This is all I'm going to say about it. You don't own Doctor Who. Get the fuck over it.
Here's Doctor Who?
Womp womp.
Here's the thing with all that. And maybe this is just a testament to the people I follow on Twitter or the accounts I mute and so forth. Like, I'm not seeing people upset about it. I'm just seeing people saying, well, I mean, are you seeking it out?
No. Trust me. It's a...
I just choose. I don't block, move on, mute, move on. I just don't follow that.
I'm going to say this: there are things that women are exposed more to on the internet and in real life.
That's fair.
Than men know to look for.
That's
because
fair.
You don't have to look for it. It doesn't affect you. For me, all the time, I've seen even from people that I trusted to be more progressive than apparently how they are, whining about a very talented actress. With a very talented writer going with it too, of, you know, being the doctor, and I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? I thought that you were a better person than this. And I've seen way too many man babies crying over it. And I'm sorry, they're fucking man babies. Get over it. The world doesn't revolve around you. We're heading toward equality. Thank you.
Let me ask a tough question that needs to be asked. And I this whole thing, and again, you're right, and I'm gonna dial it back a bit because you're right. As a guy, I don't necessarily always get exposed to the same type of bullshit on Twitter and stuff that women do, and I'll admit that. But let me ask this. Isn't this a natural cycle of Doctor Who, is that anytime they announce a new... Like, when they announced Matt Smith, it was like, he's too fucking young. And when they announced, you know, Peter Capaldi, he's too fucking old. And then it's like, everybody always fucking comes around once the show's on air, and it's like, it really wasn't that bad. Would it be okay, and I'm not asking this for myself, but I'm asking this as the person who does interviews on this show, is it okay to be criticizing the new Doctor Who based on the writing, the show's creative direction, the things that other doctors in the past are criticized on? Is that an okay criticism?
Well, absolutely. Okay. You know, I'm super happy that Moffat's out of the picture now.
Yeah, and I felt weird because I'm like, actually, most people I see are really happy about Moffat being gone. But
because, well, he was another one of those, you know, stupid man babies who can't write a woman to save his life other than failing every aspect of the Bechdel test. But the thing I'm getting more on is just people fully attacking.
Yeah.
having a woman as the doctor.
Yeah, and that, and please, do not get me wrong, and don't fucking misunderstand my line of questioning here, because, like, the whole, and I saw the quotes about the whole, the TARDIS full of bras and stuff, where I'm just like, it's laughably stupid. Like, it's just like, with the, wow, people are really stupid. And, you know, there's just, like, comment sections on the internet and stuff. But I also kind of recognize there's a line. Like, if you're criticizing the new Doctor Who just because Doctor Who's a woman, like, get over it.
The thing is that there's this meme going around that's the Doctor Who announcement bingo. Every single one of those comments on there I've seen.
Mm.
I could have had a full card by now.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't even care about their opinions anymore. The moment that they bring it up just as a factor of gender, their opinion is immediately invalid.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even entertain it. I don't talk to them about it. They're instantly one of those people.
Mm.
And they're not worth my time.
And I just kind of also feel removed a little bit from this because I don't watch a lot of TV. I haven't watched Doctor Who since Eccleston was the Doctor. That was a long time ago.
I was sad when David Tennant left, but I supported his decision to leave, and I was looking forward to seeing what the new one would be like.
Yeah, Sean Connery wasn't James Bond forever, and, you know, actors move on from roles. They don't want to get typecast or any of that other stuff.
I was perfectly happy when the Master was a woman, although I'd really like for them to bring back the Rani because she was awesome.
Uh-huh.
But,
I don't know what any of that means. I'm sorry. I really don't.
The
really
Master
don't.
Is like a long-term, not really so much rival, just like the, what's the word I'm thinking of? I guess enemy, but a little bit more personal than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just stupid. It's stupid. So stupid. Why are people so hung up about what's between someone's fucking legs?
Mm-hmm.
Get over it. Just fucking get over it, people.
Yeah.
You people who believe that a person's gender is what determines their quality of an individual, you are a relic. You are going the way of the fucking dinosaur. Which, by the way, we were wrong about the fucking dinosaurs, but we're not wrong about you, because dinosaurs had feathers. All of these people, they're relics. Their time has passed. They're holding on to something that they're never going to recapture again. Because they're being left behind. People are learning that their way of thinking is wrong. And people don't like being proven wrong.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. And I also want to make crystal clear, despite some of my tough questions. Representation absolutely matters, you know. And not everybody out there necessarily gets it who's been represented very well for years and years and years. But, like, I think it says a lot when you see that clip. And I don't know if you guys have seen this on Twitter. There's, like, a little girl who's watching the reveal of the Doctor Who thing. And just the way her face lights up at the end when she goes, Doctor Who's a girl. Like, you know, that shit matters, you know. And
representation is important.
Absolutely. So I just want to make that clear, because some people may take issue with some of those questions I was asking. But I just kind of want – I wanted to draw just, like, a very clear line between the two types of criticisms, if that makes sense.
If it's something about writing a direction, that I don't mind.
Yeah.
But if it's just based on...
If it's just, how can Doctor Who be a woman? It's like, watch the first couple episodes and find out. Or my understanding is they've already set the framework for this. Most people were like, we saw this coming.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We've been talking about it for years.
Yeah. So.
Well, you see, women can go to medical school as well. And then...
Get out!
Yes.
Oh my God, because my primary care physician hasn't been a woman for like 15 years. Meaning that my primary care physician is a woman and has been for like 15 years.
And the other thing too, people need to get used to this kind of discussion happening, because it's not fucking going away until people get over this antiquated idea of gender role.
Until women get paid an equal
wage.
We're going
to keep talking about it.
Yeah. I get it. All right. Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about back to video games. But I understand that there's a lot of people talking about that today, so I understand. There's a lot of, and just because I don't watch Doctor Who, I know there's a lot of great shows on the Voice Geeks Network. They do watch Doctor Who, and they talk a lot about the different episodes. And that's part of the reason why we built this network, because, you know, I can't be an expert in everything geek. I know games. I know a lot about the games when it comes to television and stuff. That's why we got Critical Myth and British Invaders and Pod Culture like that. That's these departments. So I'll be tuning into those shows to see what they think about all this. Meanwhile, though, let's talk about video games, since that's what we do here usually, and talk about our gaming weeks. What types of video games have you been playing this week, Dark Sakura?
I've been playing lots of Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 because it's really fucking fun, and it's almost as much fun as watching the show, which includes a lot of just screaming. Just screaming. It's great. Really good stress relief, too. And I've been playing Dragon Ball Dokkan Battle on iOS. And Miitomo, Pokemon Go. And not much of anything else. I've really been very busy.
Okie dokie. No DDR while you got the foot in the boot.
Actually, I'm going to be, when this comes off, I need to find a good machine locally so I can use that to, because I'm so restless with this fucking thing on that, like, I just want to go out and play.
I wouldn't call it local, but I really, especially when you live in Elk south of here, but when...
In Elk south of here? It's Elk Grove. It's fine.
I don't like to totally give away personal information. You're right. It's a big, there's like 90,000 people live there. I know. But anyway, but like, Strikes is up in Rockland. It's kind of far.
Which is too the fuck far away.
I know, but it's kind of worth it though. Cause they got a lot of cool stuff there, but you're right. For you, it's probably just as fast to go to like Concord.
I'd rather go to round one.
Yeah. I don't blame you. All right. Anyway, let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I didn't play anything. I played basically just a stupid idle clicker Office Space game. I actually stopped playing Pokemon Go. I don't care enough anymore. And like, I was doing my dailies, like, oh, I forgot it. Well, I guess I don't have to do that anymore.
I'm not beholden to this game anymore.
Exactly. So I was like, eh. Well, it's like, okay, I can go spin the Pokestops to get more Pokeballs, but like, I have too many. I have like 172, and I'm not catching anything. And where's my Slurpee?
Alan just walked in and brought me a Slurpee. You want a sip?
No, I'm good.
All right. I have cooties.
So, yeah, it was just, I didn't play anything. But mainly because I wanted to work on actually making games. And then on top of that, I was tired. So, that's it.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, input.
Hello.
Hi, Alan.
I grabbed, Rob handed me his mic before he could properly introduce me. I have a breaking news from Orange Lounge Foodio. We went to Dutch Brothers yesterday, and I wanted to find those Dunkin' Donut Oreos, so I went to Walmart in Rancho Cordova. The website said they had them. I downloaded the app on the in-store Wi-Fi, and because they weren't there. Neither were the jelly donut ones. So JD will appreciate this if you're listening. I wanted Oreos.
So you went on a food trip that ended up being a complete bust, and you had to willingly go into Walmart to do it.
Yes, I did get, though, the Dunkin' Donuts Pop-Tarts, so you can eat those tomorrow. Yay, bye.
Hooray, thank you for that very important food update. I appreciate it. All right. Well, that's it for Loki's Gaming Week. I'll talk about my Gaming Week a little bit. Let's see. I already talked about Splatoon 2 and doing the little pre-event there. I only played a couple rounds of it, and then I was like, oh, well, nothing in this carries over to the main game. Wow, I'm still really terrible at this. I'm going to wait and try the single player in Splatoon 2 when it comes out. But it was fine. It was set up really well. The presentation of the Splatfest was really well done. I will give it that. Let's see. What else did I play this week? I played Pokemon Go as well, which I already talked about earlier. And the game that's been taking up the most of my time, well, besides Final Fantasy XIV, which continues to be a thing, but now I have been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which just came out on Tuesday, but I got my copy on Friday because I waited to get the Steelbook Edition because I was really stupid and I didn't pre-order. I thought I had this whole time, and it's like, then Tuesday came around. I'm like, where's my shipping notice? Oh, I never bought it. I see. That's what happened. So I had to wait till Friday to get my Steelbook Edition, but I got the game, and I got to say, oh my gosh, Final Fantasy XII has really aged well. Like, just as a game, like, wow, like, I'm having more fun with it now, I think, even than when it was on PlayStation 2 originally. I really like some of the quality of life changes they've made, how you can kind of have the transparent map that's on your screen by clicking L3, how you can speed the game up is amazing. You can do double or quadruple time, even, to just make, like, I'm in that area right now. What do they call it? The Yerba Sands or something, where you're in those big oil towers that are like the giant circles. And it's not the most pleasant map in the world. But man, when you put that thing on double speed, it's so much easier to like grind through. And yes, man, the speed alone is like a huge quality of life improvement there with that. But and yeah, it's just, it's making me really love this game all over again. Like, I love how, you know, 12 was the game that came after 11. So there's MMO-esque elements of it, like multiplayer elements, I would say. But it's not a multiplayer game. You know, it's definitely a single player experience, but you program the other people in your party through the Gambit system to be able to do the things you want them to do. And I just, yeah, I love it. And the battle system is a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying my way through the game. If I had any criticisms whatsoever, my real minor complaint would probably be the voice acting, but not what you think. The voice actors themselves are great, and the way, you know, especially Gideon Emery as Balthier. I mean, let's be real. Final Fantasy XII is the Balthier and Fran show, and you know all these other people too. That's not my complaint. My complaint is the actual quality of the voice acting clips. That hasn't changed since the PlayStation 2 era. And I think over the orchestrated soundtrack, I can actually hear in some places a little bit of the distortion and a little bit of popping and some of the like lower quality of the sound bits probably being compressed for PlayStation 2 and now coming over to PlayStation 4, because they certainly didn't have everybody re-record their lines or anything like that. At the end of the day, that is an extremely minor complaint, but I did tease that I had one minor issue on Twitter. So there it is. It's that one relic quality from PlayStation 2 I don't think aged as well, but you can kind of get used to it and tune it out, and that's something you kind of get over at some point. But yeah, oh my gosh, I'm really enjoying the game and the story. I'm into the story like way more than I was the first time even. Yeah, so I just, if you're a fan of role-playing games or a fan of Final Fantasy, like, you really should check this out. And I know we talked about last week a little bit about accessibility. I don't remember if this was on our phone call with Bobby or if we got into it on our show a little bit, but I kind of mentioned that Final Fantasy XII may not be the best Final Fantasy game to start with. I still think maybe Final Fantasy X, as far as like traditional Final Fantasy games go, but I don't think XII is as hard to get into as I remember. Or it's something about this game and those quality of life improvements in the year 2017 that make it easier to play. But I think I'm gonna take back a little bit what I said last week. I think if you want to start with Final Fantasy XII, you can. Just realize that it was the beginning of a newer direction for the series, and it doesn't really reflect the older games prior to it as well. Just, you know, again, when Final Fantasy had 11 that went MMO, that changed a lot of things about the franchise that even carried on into 12, 13, and you know, the way Active Time Battle plays out in 13, and 15, certainly, you know, a lot of that you see as well. Speaking of 15, by the way, I really think, as far as like a Final Fantasy experience on PlayStation 4 worth waiting for, 12 has given it to me in a way 15 didn't. Like, I almost feel like Final Fantasy 12 is Final Fantasy 15, which makes no sense at all, but that's like how it is in my head. I'm like, this is the Final Fantasy game I've been waiting for. So that's honestly where I'm at. So I hope you guys that have been playing it are enjoying it as well. None of you guys have checked it out yet? The Zodiac? Any plans to check out the Zodiac Age? No? At some point you should. It's a great Final Fantasy
title. Maybe if it's on sale for like $10 or something.
That'll probably happen eventually. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some housekeeping real quick, and then I'm going to get into gaming news. So as far as housekeeping goes tonight, I do want to mention our new Discord server. If you're not already there, just go to vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can join our new Discord server, which we have been using to talk about when people are live streaming, throw article ideas back and forth, tell you when new podcasts go up from all the shows on the network, and it's great. We have over 40 people on the Discord already, which is awesome. So it's been growing, and so you know, welcome to those of you guys that want to join with us over at vognetwork.com/discord. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, and we're on Facebook as well. But now I think it's time we get into some gaming news. So Loki, tell us about what's been going on in gaming news this week.
So there's a brand new subscription service for indie games called Jump, which is coming out very soon. So they're going to be running a beta or closed beta for it until July 24th. They're planning on launching the service with 60 to 100 indie games. And for $10 a month, you get access to play those games. So that's kind of neat.
$10 isn't very expensive either.
No, it's not. And, basically they're saying the way indie developers will be paid out on that, it'll be based on how much time subscribers play their games. So that's kind of neat. I like this a little bit better than, say, the Humble like monthly that they do.
Yeah.
Because Humble monthly, you don't know what you're getting. And with someone with like 500, Steam games, I mean, you're likely to run into duplicates sometimes. So this is kind of cool that you get to play all that. But once again, because I do have so many games in my backlog, I probably wouldn't actually want to pay for a service like this because, I just would not have time to play any of this. But it's cool, though.
And yeah, no, I love that something like it exists. It really reminds me of GameTap. You remember?
Yeah.
My God, how many years ago was GameTap? That feels like forever ago now. That was at least – that had to be like almost 10 years ago at this point. When GameTap was kind of
But here's the other cool thing, though, with that. They have it broken down. So with that, you get a library of PC, Mac, Vive, and Oculus Rift games. So not only are you getting traditional PC games, but you're also getting VR games, which is kind of cool.
Wasn't that supposed to be the concept behind the Phantom console, too? Remember that?
I don't think there was a concept. It was just like a console that you were going to download.
No, they had an E3 booth 1 year, remember? They had a whole console. But I remember they got made fun of a lot for that. But I think it was the fact that it was a console, like, dedicated to all this stuff. I don't even remember. Can somebody remind me, why did we hate the Phantom? Or did we? It's been so many years.
It's just so ephemeral.
I think it was because that system was, like, a couple $100s, and you still had to pay,
because
like, a monthly fee on top of it.
Because it was, like, a PC that you would download games to, and it's like, but I have a PC. Why do I need another PC to do this?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's true. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com, MXC says, it takes like 10 to 20 seconds to launch the games within Jump's client. Once in, they run pretty well, though. I noticed some occasional lag, at least on my internet, LOL. So some people in chat are already using the service, it sounds like.
Very cool.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, in fact, if you are interested in checking it out, they're saying the service is going to be coming later this summer. And if you want to check it out, playonjump.com.
Okay. Oh, so they must, because one of our members is saying they're in there, so they're having like a beta trial or something?
Yeah, they're doing a beta right now until the 24th.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can jump into the beta.
Nice. I might have to check that out just to see like what all's there. You never know what cool little indie game you might find on there. Yeah, there might be some stuff that's kind of...
He said it's highly curated, so... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't just let anybody come on the service. They seek stuff out or...
I don't really know how it works. You can submit your game if you want to, so you can send them a submission. But like, I'm just trying to see some of the
stuff that
they have in the background here. It looks like Mole Man Must Die,
They're trying to screen out like Fart Simulator 2017.
Right. It's not going to be any of that bullshit.
All right, I gotcha. That's good. MXC says the beta only has about 8 games so far, but the official launch will have 20 or so. At least that's the plan. MXC continues, they have some great games like A Wizard's Lizard. I think I saw a Grindr profile titled that once. A Wizard's Lizard and The Bridge. There you go. Are some of the games that are, I don't even know what this game is. I'm sorry to the creator of Wizard's Lizard, but you have to admit that's a pretty fucking funny title. Right? Dark Saga's trying not to laugh over there. Are you a fan of the Wizard Lizard? All right. Here's my curiosity. Raginator is like the deals guy here at pretty much Vogue. I would say OLR, but he calls it a Bobby show all the time, too. And if Game Buoy and Electric Sisterhood took calls, he'd probably call into them, too, to talk about like what video games are on sale. So my question to Raginator is, is this a deal for you? Because you're saying in chat, enough games, dude, there's no such thing. So, Raginator, like $10 a month to play all the games. Well, not all the games, but a highly...
Like 80 to 100 games.
A buffet. A Las Vegas buffet of indie games. Is that a deal? And that, I'm pinpointing Raginator, but I really open that up to everybody. Is that a deal?
And here's what they said about the internet speed, too, since we were talking about earlier, how your internet speed may affect, playing games like Splatoon 2. and how you might not be able to play online because you get banned because you're dropping out. They said, what internet speed do I need? Don't worry, any old broadband connection speed will do. That only affects the initial loading of games. So while it may take longer to using dial-up at grandma's house, after loading the game plays locally on your desktop. No need for super fast connection. Although it will make your initial game loads super fast. Most games load in under 60 seconds on a 15 megabit connection.
So it's downloading the entire game. It's not streaming the whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds like.
That makes sense. And MXC is clarifying, to be fair to the creators of A Wizard's Lizard, it is Zelda-inspired. Well, now you have my attention. I like Zelda. I'm assuming that means old-school Zelda, not like 3D Zelda. Well, even the 3D Zeldas
it's
are pretty
dangerous
good.
To go alone. Yeah. Take my Wizard's Lizard.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange.
All right, I'm kidding. All right. let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Raginator says, I'm not really into renting games. I want to outright own the games. Oh, a little difference there. I want to amass that collection of these are mine. The precious.
Well, then that's what Steam's for.
That's what Steam's for.
I mean, Steam and like, hey, if you want cheap games and what they had like today, I want to say, I think it was Bundle Stars that had it. They had, what was it, Skullgirls with the DLC for $1. Can't beat that.
All right. Moving on. Let's go to some more stories. Let's talk about Nintendo Switch. I have my own little buffet of Nintendo Switch updates, actually. A few things to a note about the Nintendo Switch as the library of games is growing and growing. I think it's really nice and relieving to see. It looks like the Switch is not facing the curse of the Wii U. We still have a steady stream of games coming out for the Switch. And good news, the Jackbox Party Pack 3, which was already released on the Nintendo Switch, I'm imagining must be doing well enough that it was announced by Jackbox Games. We've only had them on the show twice. Jackbox Games on Twitter mentioned that the Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2 are also coming to the Nintendo Switch. So whereas, yeah, okay, if you have PlayStation 4 or Xbox One or even Steam, you've probably already picked these up. But there is something awfully convenient about the Switch, being able to put that on the tabletop and instant party. So these games are kind of getting a second life of sorts all through the Nintendo Switch. So those games are coming out on Nintendo Switch. So that's pretty cool. They didn't say when, but I'm assuming, you know, before the holiday or the good old fashioned soon. I don't know if you guys have checked out Cave Story Plus, but that recently came out on the Nintendo Switch. And in August, they are going to be patching in a classic graphics mode. So in August, you will be able to switch between the new graphics and the classic graphics. So that's pretty cool. A little perk for people that own that game. I'm loving how much. Have you noticed this? A lot of the Nintendo Switch games have really been getting, like, really strong post-release support. And I think that's important, too. Like, we talked about Blaster Master Zero last week. The Bomberman game, even though I didn't like it, you know, they have been putting, Pyramid Head Bomberman in there now. Like, they have all this crazy stuff in there. And now you see the Cave Story is getting stuff. Like, I really like that these games are getting well-supported past their launch. That's pretty cool. And I love this, a little follow-up to something we talked about last week. Pac-Man Versus is coming out on Nintendo Switch. We already talked about that last week. But what if you only have one copy of the game, but you still want to be able to play the game? Because you're going to need two Switches to really play the game to its full potential, where one Switch is Pac-Man, the other Switch is the Ghost. Well, here's what's pretty cool about it. Even though there's no download play on the Nintendo Switch like you have on the 3DS, Bandai Namco, their solution for Namco Museum is to release a new title on the eShop called Pac-Man Versus Free Multiplayer Only Version. And with this app on your Switch, it will talk to the game on somebody else's Switch and allow you to have one copy of the game playable on two Switches. So it is a little bit of a workaround, but hey, you know, good guy Bandai Namco in this case, putting this together so that you wouldn't have to have two copies of the game in order to play Pac-Man Versus the way it's really intended. So lots of exciting stuff on the Steam front. Very, very cool. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Kingdom Hearts 3. Yes, because Squenix can count to three, unlike some other companies out there.
Well, to be fair, it hasn't been released yet.
And well, to be fair, they also use a weird number system that has, like, all these weird, you know, fractions.
2.8, 2.5, final HD. All right, sorry, Jamie.
Anyway, so we have though some new world announcements, including a couple of gameplay trailers. So the one I'm really excited about is the Toy Story one, because how we haven't had any Pixar presence, I think, in any of the Kingdom Hearts games to my memory.
I don't recall either. I don't think so.
I'm about as giddy as this, almost as I was giddy for Tron World, which was based off of the original Tron.
Right. I think they did Tron Legacy in the DS game, though, in the 3DS game. Dream Drop Distance, I think they did. But with all that, I mean, like, the way it looked, like, the way the characters looked in that trailer was, like, as good as they did in the first Toy Story movie. It's crazy.
Well, I was also noticing some of the other background elements, too. Like, first of all, the environment felt like it wasn't just background. They felt like part of the background. And even outside, the grass looked freaking real. Everything, the light sourcing was amazing. I was really, really pleased. Of course, the voice acting was all in Japanese, which I always love the Japanese Donald voice actor because he just sounds so perfect. He sounds identical either way. It's just, it's great listening to it. But I'm really, really, really pleased by it. And apparently they're also going to have Hercules, Big Hero 6, and Tangled in some of these worlds, which I'm also equally happy about. So really, really pleased with it. And that, and I like that they come out looking like toys. You know, their little outfits are toy bodies. I think that's cute.
Yeah, I have to admit, I think the Toy Story was new this week. They talked about Big Hero 6 before. They didn't say a lot, but you know, that was still, you know, they're gonna explore, I guess, a Marvel property with that. It's weird that they're recycling Hercules, and fuck James Woods after this week, seriously. Fuck him. So I'm not excited about that. But as far as, you know, the rest of those announcements, that's pretty cool. So
I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah, yeah. And then, did you see at the end of the trailer, Jamie, at the very end of the very, very, very end, it says coming in 2018.
Right. I saw that.
To which a lot of skeptical gamers are saying, that's a good one.
Well, the other game I want is coming out next year, too.
What's that?
The Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. Well, I think that will actually happen. That hasn't been in development for, like, 18 years. Or what's that? What's that GIF from Titanic? It's been 84 years or whatever it is she says in that movie. It's how long it's been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3. And here's the thing. I've also seen other people that are like, why are people so cynical about the 2018 release date? It's like, come on.
Because it's a Square we're talking about.
It's not even just that it's Square. It's that it's Square and it's a video game. I mean, hello, every week on this show, we have news about some game getting delayed.
In fact, I'm pretty sure we have some this week.
I know we do. I know we have one during Rapid Fire News, at least. So it happens in this industry. And I'm not saying like Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to suck, because actually, that's fine. If they have to delay the game to make a great game, then it's fine. But I don't get excited over time frames anymore. Anybody remember that Persona 5 trailer that said it was going to be on the PS3 in like 2014? Remember that? I mean, the games don't always make their dates, and it happens. So anyway, hopefully Kingdom Hearts will be awesome when it finally does come out. So I'm excited about that. But there's lots of awesome stuff at D23.
There was.
Yeah, the Tron ride coming to Orlando. Excited about that. Very excited to check that out. Was there any other gaming stuff?
Yeah, they showed off Battlefront 2, because I actually caught some of it. They showed off Battlefront 2. They showed off, what else? A little bit more of Spider-Man. They talked about, they had like a reveal of another character that you can play in Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 game, which is the homemade Spider-Man suit from the new movie. Which I'm like, who cares? I mean, I kind of figured that would be in there anyways, but whatever. Much like E3, it was chock full of influencers, if you will.
Disney has influencers?
No, YouTube personalities.
Oh, God. All right.
So it was hosted. They had Jacksepticeye. Doing hosting, and then they had Markiplier in there later on, and a whole bunch of other people I don't give a shit about. But it was cringy at moments.
I'm going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I have to address this comment. So SSG100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, so Mighty No. 9 gets tons of shit for delays, is a great game. But Kingdom Hearts 3 gets delayed and we have to gloss over it? Nobody should be exempt from getting shit on for multiple delays.
Was Mighty No. 9 a good game? I don't remember hearing that part of it.
The jury's, I think that's the whole opinion. There's an opinion there. But that's not even it for me. I'm going to tell you the difference there, Matt. The Mighty No. 9 team took your money up front, telling you the game was going to be out in a certain time frame. I haven't paid a dollar for Kingdom Hearts yet, just like I haven't paid a dollar for Smash Brothers or any of that other stuff yet. And I think in the case of Mighty No. 9, like it isn't just the fact that it got delayed, but it just seems like that Kickstarter. I didn't donate money to it, so I haven't been on the forefront of this. Although I will say this, I did finally buy the game. I just haven't played it yet. It's in my Steam backlog. I bought Mighty No. 9 in that recent Steam sale because I was like, I just want to see. I want to make my own judgment on this. At least I can say that. I'm going to make my own damn judgment on this, and I'm not going to necessarily believe the internet one way or the other. But my understanding is those Kickstarter guys still fulfilling rewards. How long has that game been out now? And I'm hearing like the last of the physical rewards just now going out.
Because it came out last July?
So I think there's a little bit of apples oranges going on there, and the biggest part of it is that, again, they took your money up front promising a certain time frame. But to be fair, so it did Bloodstained, so did a lot of Kickstarters out there, but I think this is why you're seeing a trend. I think more and more Kickstarters are having difficulty now if they aren't somebody with an established presence because of what these Kickstarters before have done is that, like, now the expectation when Mighty No. 9 was a thing, nobody knew what to expect from Kickstarters. But now it's almost like it's the same, and I'm using my quotey fingers, joke with Kickstarters that
honestly,
it's going to get delayed 100
times.
But
here's times. Here's the thing, and let's be fair here. We only hear about these Kickstarters when they're a shit show like this. We don't hear about all the stuff that is successfully gone through. And,
true.
You know, I'm sure there's lots and lots of games that don't really hit the, you know, spotlight that have been Kickstarted and released just fine, and nobody's really talking about them because they weren't asking for a ton of money up front. They released, you know, a good game or a decent game on time, and probably people playing it now don't even realize it was a Kickstarter game. So, like, I don't want to say that all projects like that, but we can't take just, okay, this person's pedigree, they made good games in the past with a publisher, and now they're releasing their own game that they're going to know what the fuck they're doing, because that's been proven wrong a lot so far. So we just can't take that for granted, and you just have to see, you know, in the end, is it something that you feel like putting your money towards the development on? Do you have confidence in? I mean, sometimes you're wrong.
Lizard Wizard in chat over at live.fognetwork.com says, OLR never talked about the failure of Project Rap Rabbit. Actually, I think the day before the campaign ended, I talked a little bit about it on the show.
Show anything from it.
They finally, towards the end of the campaign, they finally had like a concept reel that I think was in-game footage, but maybe not. It might have been rendered. I'm not sure. Anyway, here's my whole thing with that. Since you brought it up, I was actually going to bring that up anyway. But I would actually say Project Rap Rabbit is probably the first big victim, I would say, of a Kickstarter burnout that's happening, I think, in the gaming community. I think if they did Project Rap Rabbit 2 years ago, before Amplitude ever happened, I think if they had tried to do it then, I think it would have succeeded. I think I might have backed it. I don't know. It's hard to say in retrospect. But I think a large reason why that game failed, A, they had an expectation because of all these. I still think, and you know, I think some of the big fans of that game are going to really not agree with what I'm saying, but you really feel it in the sense of how long they held off on certain things and how they ran that whole Kickstarter. There was an arrogance around that Kickstarter. I can't think of a better word. There was an arrogance around that Kickstarter that they were going to make their money. And I think that showed a little bit, which is why I'm using that word. And I think that's part of the reason why they
just
didn't
like
make the money.
Shenmue 3, have we seen anything from that yet?
No. Oh, no. You know, and I think because of all of this, Mighty No. 9, Shenmue, Bloodstained, you name it, a lot of these high-profile Kickstarters that...
No, they didn't show footage at E3 of Bloodstained, and it apparently looked really good.
Did,
but
yeah, I'm still... I did back Bloodstained. Would I do it again? I don't know, but I did back it, and I'm... it is looking good. I'm hoping maybe this is one that can kind of buck the trend and maybe like, make Kickstarters great again.
Like, there's a game, one that I've been seeing a lot on channels when they're talking about other stuff. So Fight Night was one. It's a game that's kind of got that old, like a retro first-person shooter type game. But you're playing as a knight that all you do is you punch things. And it's got a really cool aesthetic to it. And it went through Kickstarter and I think has been doing pretty well. And it, games like that, they release like a demo along with the Kickstarter. So you kind of at least get to, you know, try it out and see if it's something that you want to, you know, does this look good? Does, you know, is this something you're going to be wanting in the back instead of just basing it off of video pictures?
So anyway, yeah. The Rap Rabbit thing was just, it's a bummer, but I think there was a lot in there about how not to do your Kickstarter. Sorry. But releasing gameplay concepts more than halfway in your campaign, that was a big no-no. That should have been a day one thing. And I think more people are going to have success on Kickstarter. Like, okay, so talking about like successful Kickstarters and things, and to be fair, you know, let's talk about some good. So we had that guy on the show a couple months ago from Tangle Deep was the name of the game, and he is from OC Remix, right?
Zircon.
We had him on the show, right? And I actually backed that game, and I'm getting a lot of updates for it, and it seems like that game is on target. But if you remember, when he was on the show, he talked about his game was pretty much already done, and it was coming out no matter what, but this was helping him do that final push. It was the extra stuff he wanted to put in the game, and it was the kind of like the distribution stuff. I think that was, in many ways, the right way to do a Kickstarter, is that you already have your product ready to go. This is just now that final push.
And here's the best part about Kickstarter, though. If your project fails on Kickstarter, learn from your mistakes and do another one. I mean, that's if like, for example, Project Rap Rabbit, if the problem was that there was no gameplay, there was nothing there, it was just kind of concepts at, you know, the 11th hour, then maybe put some more, you know, stuff into your game, show some of what you have, and then do it again. I mean, no harm, no foul, I guess. It's just when you, you know, make a game and you get funded and then you don't release the game, then that's a problem.
SSJ 100 Matt says, Shovel Knight is the best case scenario and should be the standard of video game Kickstarter campaigns. And that's a good news thing we can talk about, I think, when it comes to Kickstarter. It doesn't all have to be bad news, for sure.
And I think Ukulele was not so bad, from what I hear.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up myself, but I'm not hearing a lot of complaints about it. I think the people who funded it are enjoying it. So, anyway. All right, let's move on, though. We got plenty more to talk about than just what's going on Kickstarter. Loki.
All right, so there's a lot of like VR news this week, especially Oculus. So Oculus announced that they're going to be creating a standalone Oculus headset that's going to release next year, and it's going to be about $200. They're saying that the tech in it is going to be kind of similar to like maybe like a Gear VR. So, I don't know. For $200, I would assume it's going to be like a Gear VR type thing. But it's basically, it's not going to require a phone or anything like that. It's just going to be its own deal. So that's going to be kind of neat. Especially $200. I mean, that's a pretty nice entry point. So we'll have to see what that looks like coming next year. The other stuff, though, in the meantime, this is a really good deal. I mean, honestly, I'm thinking about jumping in on this. I just have to see if I have enough spare money to afford it right now. But for right now, between now and I think it's going to be running for 6 weeks, the Oculus Rift bundle on PC platforms is running $399. So that's an Oculus Rift headset as well as two of the touch controllers, and they're even including several games as well. And that's $200 off the regular price.
Nice.
So I mean, that's just fucking awesome. And on top of that, when the deal is up, they are going to be dropping the price down to $500 instead of $599 right now. So they're going to be dropping it $100 permanently after the whole thing's done. But, I mean, dude, that's just seeing this, and we're going to kind of get into some more stories later. A lot of companies are jumping on board VR, and I think it's really going to start taking off this year and probably next year.
Yeah, but I'm still worried about everybody trying to do VR their own way. And like that we have a real diluted pool here.
But
I don't have room for 10 headsets in my house.
Right. I think right now it's kind of between the Oculus, obviously the Oculus and the Vive. I don't know. I know Lenovo's been doing, they have some other Lenovo headsets and stuff, and Microsoft is supposed to be partnering different people for different headsets, but I think, I don't have a problem.
PlayStation VR, of course.
Well, yeah, PlayStation VR. I think, though, this is good, though, that they're dropping the price like this, and it's helping push sales, because they see those higher sales with this, you know, price point, it's only going to help, competition will bring that price down, and that, I think, especially when this headset comes out standalone for $200, it may not be as cutting edge as this, which is okay, because not everybody's PC can run VR stuff as is.
Right.
And so if this lower, you know, priced headset isn't as demanding as, like, other things, then maybe that's a good thing to get people really introduced into VR. Because it's one of those things, like, once you try it, you kind of become a believer of it. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, I think this is a nice, like, we knew eventually the price of the technology would start to come down a little bit. It would allow the price to come back a little bit. And now it's getting a little more like, okay, now this is something that, you know, more and more people might start adopting. So this is pretty exciting.
I am seriously, though, thinking about that bundle, because, like, now that my laptop can do VR, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. This is something maybe to sway you. And surely you've seen stuff on this, Loki. Something else that was announced at the D23 Expo was Marvel Powers United VR. And this is actually a partnership, I guess, between Oculus and Disney Marvel. So I guess this is something where it's a four-player action game. You take on the role of your favorite Marvel hero, and you work together to complete missions, and you face off against bad guys and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it looked kind of cool.
Sanzaru Games is building it. They were behind VR Sports Challenge and Ripcoil, if you've played those games. There's 12 playable characters, I guess, they're supposed to be in the game. And so far, you've seen Captain Marvel, Rocket Raccoon, and I guess the Hulk,
sounds like,
was also there. So already a better roster than Marvel versus Capcom Infinite.
I think they're actually all in.
I couldn't resist.
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
All right. Bad joke. But anyway. No X-Men. Yeah, that's the problem. All right, anyway. All that joking aside, though, the VR stuff, it looks like it would be pretty cool. This is something that I definitely want to play. Would you, Darksakura, would you check out a game? Oh, maybe not. Maybe because I know you're not big on the VR stuff because of the motion and everything, but you could be Rocket Raccoon.
That's okay.
You actually see his nose, which is kind of
do you really?
Annoying, but you know, you do have that.
I really don't care. If it's VR, I'm not really going to give it the time of day.
But I remember at GamerX you played a VR game you liked. So there are
some
stuff. Yeah.
No, I liked it, but I couldn't.
But it was also not high intensity. Something like this is high intensity.
Well,
something
this is
like
high
that.
Intensity, but it's not moving around a lot. It's more of just kind of standing there and shooting things. Like if you've ever played, you might like... what was that robot recall thing where there's not really a lot of movement. It's teleporting different spots.
I still don't think I would like it very much. I don't like to be without my glasses.
Well, you could wear your glasses though.
I thought these headsets allowed you to wear your glasses.
I'm really not into VR. All
right, fair enough. Yeah. A lot of the teleport thing is how they're doing like Doom and some of the,
I don't like it. Honestly, I don't mind I don't get VR. I don't get motion sick from that stuff. And I don't really care for the teleporting. I would rather just be able to move. Give me the option.
As long as I do it in little doses, I'm fine. I can't do a VR game for like an hour, but I can do it for like 20 minutes. So, but I would
like a sequel to what was it? Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, please. Because that game is awesome. I'll just keep playing that. I'm looking for more games. In fact, actually, one of the stories we'll have later on is a game I'm planning on picking up. And one I've been waiting for PlayStation VR. So,
all right. Well, let's move on so we can get there. But first, Darksakura.
Well, there is something that I don't know what quite to think about it. But for anyone who is a fan of River City Ransom... The game River City Ransom Underground was taken off of Steam because of a DMCA claim. Just trying to get a little bit more going on is that basically I'm not quite sure why, because I think it was also involved in a YouTube thing. There's been some updates since I read this originally.
This follows something up from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to find out because, like I said, it's been updated since I read it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they're trying to get the DMCA retracted so that they can get it back on Steam. And now there's something about a restraining order going on. Yeah, I'm like way behind on this one.
I was going to say, do you remember last week when we had the story about the composer who was taking stuff out? It's the same person.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh.
So there's the click, click, ding.
Yep. If I may jump in. The whole restraining order thing they're talking about. So this is actually the whole litigation between Alex Maurer and Imago Software is actually it's heading to court now. There's already a court case going. And so the first bit of, they filed a restraining order against Alex Maurer in regards to this filing copyright claims. So she cannot file any copyright claims pertaining to the case that's in place right now, because until that has been decided who the owners are of the copyright, she can't, you know, issue takedowns anymore, because she was doing it. And in a really vicious manner, too, because normally now if you file multiple DMCA requests against a YouTube channel at once, it'll give you just one strike. She was waiting enough time so they would get individual strikes and take the channel down, because she's just so vindictive against them. So on top of that,
was she doing it all herself, or she was doing it herself?
Well, there's also a little bit more. They're saying now that they were, of course, getting more death threats from this individual, and that they're not just being sent to the company, it's being sent to people associated with them as well. And pretty much going now through as many different channels as to threaten people to leave her music alone.
Well, so. I had heard she was getting death threats, too.
She's making death threats.
Well,
what a mess.
She's getting the usual.
First off, death threats on the internet need to fucking stop.
Right.
No matter who it is, fucking quit it.
Right. So this is the internet. People, when they're upset about something, do stupid shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's from the get-go. Both, you know, some of the YouTubers have been covering, like Sid Alpha and then Leonard French, the plaintiff's lawyer, is basically said, listen, stop making death threats against, you know, Alex. You know, she is a person, you know, leave her alone, that type of stuff. So they've all basically come out and said, no, that's a bad thing.
Right. Good.
But she's been making death threats against them. She's doxxed her own lawyer after firing her lawyer. So she doxxed her own lawyer. She doxxed her parents for some reason. I'm not really sure where that comes into play.
Where's this all come from?
Mental insanity?
No. Not that. Like, where is she doing this?
She's doing
it on Twitter?
She's doing it a bunch of places. And here's the weird stuff, though. The reason that we know this is because she's keeping email correspondence with these YouTubers. Like Sid Alpha, for example. She keeps sending him emails telling him what she's doing. And, like, he keeps responding back, like, listen, fucking leave me alone. Stop making. I'm not taking your side. You made death threats against me. You know, leave me the fuck alone. So, I mean, it's a really weird situation that's going on. But the reason why she's going after River City Ransom now is because she can't go after StarMazer or StarMazer DSP anymore because of this whole thing. And she's doing that against River City Ransom, and she was doing it against, there's another game as well that she was trying to do takedowns on.
This is big, though, because if she ends up being in the wrong on this, like, this is now lost sales for the
service. They've already shown the contract that she has. She is clearly in the wrong, but it's just going to have to go through this whole court case, and she's going to get in some pretty deep shit because of all this, you know, they're going to...
Does she have representation, a manager?
She had representation. She had a lawyer. They've been saying, listen, you should get a lawyer, because she was going to represent herself. And they're like, you should get a lawyer. And so they got a lawyer, and that's where they went through this whole restraining order thing. Apparently, she didn't like that. She fired the lawyer, and now she's on her own again. It's a goddamn mess. But like, yeah, it's...
I don't want to assume nothing about people I don't know, but
yeah, she's taken down like about seven.
She's going to create a nightmare for herself if she is in the wrong on this.
She's already said that she's filed, you know, she's given numbers and shown lists. She's filed 70 DMCA takedown requests against YouTubers, 50 different requests against Twitch streamers, and just like causing all sorts of damage and bullshit. And it's not even because like she's trying to get after them. It's because she was hoping that they will complain against, you know, the people that make the game to try to, like, kind of signal boost her shit.
And there is another thing to do into it. The article that I was getting a lot of the information from that really brought up some of it to me was written by Jonathan Holmes, who apparently has violated certain aspects of journalistic integrity by commenting and reporting on things it was specifically asked not to, to basically more sensationalize the story. It had to go in and issue a couple of retractions. That's what got me thrown off in the article, because the whole first part of it now is nothing but retractions and apologies.
Okay. So. Okay. Clearly there are many things that everybody in this situation just needs to back away from. So the reporters need to maybe back away, which is ironic, but we're just three kids in a basement. She needs to back away from the DMCAs. The companies need to back
away. Medication.
Allegedly. The companies need to back away from using her music. I think we all just need to back away, because there's just no winners in this scenario. This is fucking nuts. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I think it's probably best we move on, but that's... It just kind of sucks that, you know, we were talking about this last week, and now it's tied to, you know, a franchise. I mean, Star Mazer, an indie developed thing, that's one thing, but now we're tied to River City Ransom, a, you know, franchise that a lot of people...
There was some Adult Swim game or something like that that she was... Because I remember she'd filed a DMCA takedown notice against Turner Broadcasting, which I'm surprised that hasn't bit her in the ass yet. But apparently it was for some Adult Swim game. I just don't remember what it was.
Well, let me try
Cartoon Network. I don't know, some bizarre game.
Let me try to make a lemonade out of lemons in this whole thing. Maybe.
Add vodka.
Okay, it's one way to do it. Maybe all this shit will finally have that conversation on YouTube and Twitch and all these places about when is it appropriate for somebody to send a takedown request. Because I think this is also the conversation we need to be having. And I think last time we brought this whole article up, I said, okay, well, she may be in the wrong, but who is pointing out that YouTube is in the wrong for issuing these strikes in the first place and letting her do it? I'm using my quotey fingers, letting her do it. Where's YouTube's accountability? And why aren't we saying, YouTube, knock this shit off and stop being against your own content creators? And this is something I was saying last week, and I've kind of
continued
this week.
In place, they can't do anything more than that, because
then the system is fucked.
It's impossible to police that much content, and they can't. They have to abide by these notices because they have to take them down. That's the whole DMC law thing. But yeah, I think it's stupid that this system has been clearly abused by a lot of people, not necessarily just for, by big studios who think they own everything, but also by people that, I just don't like what you're saying in that video, so I'm going to, take it down.
Right.
And then they purposefully, they know they're not going to go to court on it, they purposely hold it for the maximum amount of time that they can and release it. Because, fuck you, you just don't get paid for that many weeks. It's stupid.
All right. Let's move on. Some other news. Oh, I spent 3 hours on this. Loki.
All right. So Steam is Valve is working on Steam's recommendation system. So they're kind of revamping it. I think this is kind of talking about how, previously they talked about why things are getting recommended to you. So you kind of have a little bit more details. But one of the things that they're working on, instead of just basically saying, yes, I want to like this title, or no, I don't like this title, or hey, add that to my wish list. They'll be able to choose games, they said, based off of, ones that they personally enjoy. So they're hoping that with that and expanding their curators program will kind of make things a little bit nicer looking. Especially that, since it's kind of getting quite crowded in there now.
Mm. Yeah, Steam in general kind of just needs a makeover, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is all stuff that they were talking about. I think it was like several weeks ago that they kind of talked about what changes they were going to be making to the platform.
Right.
And I remember one was this whole recommendation system. Like, they were going to basically say, okay, I have, genital jousting in my, hey, maybe you should check this out list. Why am I getting this recommended to me? And it's like, okay, you've played several games with penises in them lately, so this is why
you seem to be a fan of penis.
We see Age of Conan in there, It's Penis Simulator 40, 2017. So this is why you have that game.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about some updates that have come to Xbox Live. There's an update that is hit. I think that went off to all the users this week. I don't think it was just Or no, this they will be getting these updates soon. Some new things coming to Xbox include custom gamer picks. So now if you don't like your gamer pick or your OLR icon that you downloaded in 2006 or whenever that was actually on the marketplace, can't get it anymore, sadly. But you can create your own custom gamer pick, which is pretty awesome. And what is also cool, now you can stream games with other people, because you know how Mixer added this hole in. It was a big part of their recent update. Now you can do the co-op streaming with other people. Also, you can actually tie a controller to your login. I guess that's kind of neat because you can sign in a little easier and get things into it that way. So, yeah, that is all coming out soon. I guess that's probably in the beta preview program right now. But I am not sure when it's actually rolling out to the Xbox One itself. Mobile Xbox app also getting updates, which is kind of cool. So check that out. All right. Let's go back to a simpler time in gaming, though. Back when you didn't have firmware updates regularly. You had the system that came in the box from when you bought it at Sears, and if you didn't like it that way, tough shit. You had to wait for the top loader NES, so you didn't have to blow on cartridges anymore. It's a segment on the show we call the Classic Game of the Week, but plot twist, in 2017, Dark Sakura takes a system every month and says, "Hey, you know what? One game ain't enough for you? Well, here's a whole damn system you should be spending some time with."
Yeah.
Dark Sakura, what is the classic system of the month?
The ZX Spectrum, which is an 8-bit home computer that came out in the UK, released by Sinclair in 1982. Manufactured in Dundee, Scotland, in a former Timex factory. At any rate, during development, it was called the ZX81 Color and the ZX82, and it came out as the ZX Spectrum because of its color display as opposed to the black and white that came out with the ZX81. It had 8 different models, with the entry level being the 16 kilobyte RAM up to 128 kilobyte RAMs and a floppy disk drive in 1987, and they sold roughly, I should say, over 5 million units around the world, not counting clones of the hardware. It was among the first mainstream audience home computers. It was comparable to the Commodore 64 in the US, and in fact, it was among its competitors were the Commodore 64, the Dragon 32, the Oric 1, Atmos, BBC Microcomputer, and the Amstrad CPC. That was all over the 80s. It had over 24,000 software titles that came out. And in 2014, there was a Bluetooth keyboard modeled after the Spectrum keyboard that came out. And also, after licensing deals and clones and the way that it boosted the UK IT industry, Clive Sinclair, I reckon the creator behind it, was awarded knighthood for services to the British industry. So, among the varying versions that came out, like I said, the very first one came out with 16 kilobytes of RAM. It could be updated to 48, and the hardware was designed by Richard Altswasser of Sinclair Research and designed by Rick Dickinson. It was RF video, and it could use any type of television or a simple color display. It was, I do believe, 32 by 24. Sorry, image resolution, I don't know what that was, that's text column. Image resolution was 256 by 192 with the usual 8-bit color limitations. But the pixel grid on it was 32 by 24. And of course, there were several other peripherals that had for it. Sound was output through a beeper on the machine, as we could hear the bleep bleep sounds in the background. Software could use the internal and play 2-channel sound. It had an expansion bus edge connector. It also had headphone and mic ports as well. And it used a Sinclair Basic for most of the programming on the device. There were there's the for all of the versions of it that came out. We had the ZX Spectrum 16K and 48K, the Spectrum Plus, Spectrum 128. There were the Amstrad models, which was the Spectrum Plus 2, Plus 2A, Plus 3, just a number of them. And then, of course, there were a ton of clones that came out because the hardware was licensed, including a few done by Timex of Portugal. So it is considered, I would say, among the... I would probably say among one of the core of that 8-bit computer era. I'd put it right up there on the pedestal with the Commodore 64, with the Atari 800 and later computers.
Of course, depending on your country, certainly. Because, yeah, you know, here in the U.S., it really didn't make that same wave. Just like the MSX didn't here either, you know.
I honestly would like one.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone wanted to just give me one, that's fine. But... amongst the other peripherals that came out with it, there were a number of branded items that came out and a few third-party things. But there was the ZX printer. There was the ZX interface, which looks like a cartridge attachment. Interface 2, which is another cartridge attachment. The micro drive, which looks like it is a floppy drive of some sort. And the Kempston joystick interface. A good number of different things that came out. But as far as software that came out, there were a number of... I mean, not just, you know, doing database and programming and, you know, spreadsheets and even some early 3D rendering software that came out for it. But there were just a good number of games. Some of which, like in the video that I put, there was a RoboCop game. There were... a number of them. It also did have a cassette drive to load. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with computers with cassette drives because I had a Coleco Atom as a kid. Power Surge, Fire Tapes. Bye-bye, all magnetization.
I didn't realize that. That's crappy.
Power
supply. Yeah, no, it makes total sense, but crappy.
I have actually some Coleco Atom tapes that I'm fairly sure... are also already wiped, but they're in the package. Anyway, though, back to this one. Software was distributed. You could buy items. It could also be distributed through magazines and books, where you would just type the basic program and boom, there you'd go. You know, kind of like in the old TI computer days. There were problems, of course, with copying. You could copy what they called the floppy ROMs, Flexisoft and DiscoFlex. I just think DiscoFlex sounds cool.
Don't copy that floppy. Disco.
DiscoFlex. But, like, there were a number, of course, you know, piracy is nothing new. There were also a good number of developers who, you know, went through some major game developers, several of whom went on to join Nintendo and Microsoft. So we've got some really, really good talent that's programmed for it, although I'd say that not all of the games, you know, looked as great. There were certainly better things that came out over time. But, you know, there's a lot of love for it. Some more recent things is that in 2012, on April 23rd, the Google Doodle was the 30th anniversary of the Spectrum.
Oh, neat.
So, and it was also on St. George's Day. So the logo of St. George fighting a dragon and the style of the Spectrum was the loading screen. And then January 2014, Elite Systems announced that Bluetooth keyboard that looks like the Spectrum keyboard to go with the iPad and other tablet devices. And it was also announced, I'm trying to see... there was going to be a Spectrum collection, but it was pulled. So, sadness on there. And then there was, through Indiegogo, a 100-pound Sinclair ZX Spectrum Vega retro video game console was announced. But without a full keyboard and on a very limited manufacturing. So, there you go. The ZX Spectrum.
All right, there it is, your classic system of the month, the if you want to say it the American way, the ZX spectrum. If you want to say it the old kingdom way, the ZX spectrum.
Well, since it never came out over here, it only has one name.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. All right. There it is. And some rockin' music there. Yeah, it sounds a lot like the Commodore 64 era stuff, like, right, you know, same type of stuff.
The thing I like is that one of my favorite channels on YouTube, Battle of the Ports,
uh-huh.
will often include Spectrum versions when comparing port versions.
Nice.
Even's done Amiga, Amstrad, Towns, a lot of those other systems that you don't hear from that much.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, you guys. But when we come back, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio.
Orange
Liquor Radio to come, including rapid fire news, some more news stories, your emails and phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 694 of our show already in progress for July the 16th of 2017. I can't believe this month is already halfway over. Crazy. Anyway, we got some rapid fire news to get into so we can get to release dates, your emails, some longer news and phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. First, though, Loki with some rapid fire news.
Yes, so the recently created real game of a mythical game, if you will, Polybius, is featured now in a new music video by Trent Reznor for his song Less Than. But they actually have footage of the game you know, that was supposed to be this arcade game reportedly that was going to cause like nausea and headaches and anyone that played it or something like that. But neat that it's getting featured now. That's supposed to be coming out in PlayStation VR pretty soon. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Jamie did that as a classic game of the week once. Obviously not this envisioned version, but the legend or whatever. It was a while ago. But
it's part of gaming history. Why not?
It is. Why not? Why not? Was that the same song they did on Twin Peaks? Because Nine Inch Nails was in an episode of Twin Peaks recently, and I don't want to spoil anything, but that was a batshit crazy episode of Twin Peaks. That's all I have to say. So anyway, like, I don't watch a lot of TV, but that is like the one show I'm watching. That, and I'm watching a little bit of Riverdale when I can. So that's like it for my TV right now. But anyway,
don't know. And then of course the game I've been looking forward to coming to PlayStation VR is coming out actually next week. So Super Hot and Super Hot VR coming to PlayStation 4 next week. And of course, if you're not familiar with Super Hot is a first-person shooter game where time doesn't move until you move. So you basically have to kind of figure your way through the scenarios and kill all the people in very elaborate ways, all while, you know, taking time to account there. So it's pretty cool. And the PlayStation VR version looks pretty awesome as well. I even watched the whole speed run for during Summer Games Done Quick. So, yeah, I am very interested in this. It's going to be coming out this week.
All right. Well, we were joking earlier this episode about game delays and how inevitable they are. And guess what? Another game got delayed this week. It's Ni No Kuni 2.
Oh, my God. I'm sure Bobby is completely sad about
it. I think there was already some Twitter joke about it, but I overlooked it because Ni No Kuni 2, it was originally going to come out on November 10th of this year, already bumped back to January 19th, 2018. But what's funny about that to me is that the original Ni No Kuni was a January release. And I want to say it was like third week of January, just like this. So it's kind of funny to me that this game is just following like the exact same footsteps of the first game in that regard. I just hope it has a better demo if they decide to release
yes,
one.
Yes, Bobby says in chat, you know, the demo wasn't terrible enough, so they had to delay it.
Yeah, I was like, if they would just release a good demo for this game, then maybe I could fucking stop hearing it from Bobby about this series, but I'm not going to hold my breath. They're probably just not going to do any demo at all. This game is supposed to release on PC as well, right? They did announce in that video, yeah, the little subtitle there says PlayStation 4 and PC delayed to January 19th. So that's kind of interesting that it's being released on both platforms at the same time, unlike the first game, which I don't think ever got released on PC.
No, it did not.
I still haven't watched that Castlevania thing on Netflix.
It was so good.
Oh, you finally watched it.
We watched it that night.
Oh, yeah?
After the show last week.
Funny. So you liked it?
It was really good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to there being more.
Nice. Well, how would you feel? Adi Shankar, I believe is how you say this name, he was the producer of the Castlevania animated series, and he was talking with Nintendo Life in an interview, and he was asked what other game series would he like to adapt. Did you hear the answer to this already? You know the punchline that's coming?
Metroid.
Yeah, it's Metroid. Metroid is what he says he wants to adapt next. He'd love to do a Metroid adaptation in a similar anime style as Castlevania's. He said Dark Metroid in the same anime style. So he didn't just say Metroid. He said Dark Metroid. So Metroid Prime 4 is Dark Metroid confirmed. No, I'm kidding. What do you think of that, though, Dark Sakura? Hearing that, having seen the original or the Castlevania series, do you think a Metroid thing could be done like that?
Totally.
Oh.
Totally do.
That's a pretty high recommendation.
Yeah.
Oh. How about a Chrono Trigger adaptation?
No. No. Chrono Trigger would have to be done by whatever studio Toriyama would work with.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Or whoever is... I know the person's name and I forgot, but he's got a few people who have taken over the various Dragon Ball manga.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be whoever his people work with.
Any other video games that you would like to see adapted as a Netflix series by Adi?
No.
No? Whatever he wants to do.
Strider.
There you go. Strider. Like that. Okay. Nice.
Oh my god, you guys totally didn't pick the obvious one.
What?
The Guardian Legends.
I want a new game before they're allowed to do a TV show. Like, look, Castlevania had like at least like 8 games.
What about Zelda? Let's do
a Zelda anime, though.
So we can, like, forget about the whole, excuse me, princess, you know, debacle.
But do I want to forget about that? Maybe I don't want to forget about that.
I want an HBO Zelda
movie. Oh, you want that? Anyhow, HBO Zelda, why not?
Because tits and ass, that's why.
Isn't Zelda, like, 16? What's wrong with you?
Oh, come on.
Who's going to get naked, Impa?
They'll make her 18. I mean, that doesn't fucking matter. It's HBO. Don't introduce new characters who just...
Jamie, it's not because of the plot. It's not because of the artistic direction. No, Loki just wants tits and ass.
There's fairies. They'll be naked.
They won't. They'll be dressed like drag queens. It's Zelda. Hello. Haven't you seen those fairies popping out of the fountains now? They're queens.
No, I haven't played Zelda game in a long time.
Which drag queen should play a Zelda fairy?
Judging by the looks,
Bob the drag queen.
No,
done.
No.
Bob the drag
if
queen.
If it was going to be though dead on for the ones in Breath of the Wild,
okay,
we're needing the level of over the top that can only be accomplished by Miss Alyssa Edwards. She's going to come out of that with a tongue pop,
and this is a weapon upgrade.
Exactly. I can't pop loud enough.
Okay. There's a portion of our fan base that just doesn't understand when the show delves into this talk. And then there's another portion of our fan base that goes, yes!
Yes, work! Right?
All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for Rapid Fire News?
Oh, Lord. Not Queens. In news regarding Blaze Blue, Jubei is coming. And it is apparently, I'm trying to see which Jubei it is, because there are many, many, many Jubei.
My mind went straight to Fatal Fury because there was a Jubei in that game, but it's not that Jubei.
It's not. It is the one from Persona 4 Arena, according to what I see here. And also Ruby Rose from Ruby is going to be in the game too. So that's neat. And then Jetta, who is like my favorite in Vampire Savior, is going to be in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, but nothing else about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite makes me happy. So
Jetta and Strider here, you make me happy.
No, seriously. I loved Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I mean, that was awesome. Deadpool was in it. I mean, they had a really good cast of characters.
I'm going to wait for the game to come out.
I played the demo. Did you play the demo?
No, I didn't, to be fair.
Play the demo.
All right.
And then wallow in your disappointment.
So it's like a Ni No Kuni thing going on with the demo?
It's a bad demo. It's just like, wow, this is crap.
By the way, Dark Sakura, there was this is I'm gonna kind of inject this here because we're talking about new characters in fighting games. This came out after the show roll was done, but before the show aired. Tekken 7 is getting a new character. Did you hear this?
Yes, it's Geese Howard.
It's Geese Howard, yeah.
And then Dan started walking around the house going, predictable! I'm like...
Okay, that makes more sense now that I saw that like a thread that was announcing. I was like, that must be like an in-game thing. You know.
It's one of his like attack quotes, you know, when he does his final or when he like counters a move.
Why that character from Fatal Fury,
Why
though? Out of everybody
fucking
that could,
not?
I guess so. Why fucking not? I guess he does fit into the lore.
The intro but when was I'm pretty mind blowing.
How can you do a Fatal Fury crossover and it not a Bogard or Joe?
Because
or Mai.
The Battle of the
it's always
Egos.
DLC.
The well, this is also listed as second DLC, so I'd assume there would be more. But just the Battle of the Egos, because the whole intro was basically Geese Howard going telling Heihachi he was an idiot.
That's true. It was.
What's wrong about that?
Dark Tetsuya thrown out there too in our chat. Also, I guess because Evo is obviously going on right now. That's why we haven't been able to talk a lot about it because it's going on as the show's going on. But I guess this just happened too before the show. Dark Tetsuya says Abigail was confirmed for Street Fighter V. So.
Who?
I was hoping Jamie would know what game she's from. Is she a new character?
I haven't played hardly any Tekken since Tekken 4.
No, no, Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. Abigail. Well, Abigail. In Street Fighter V?
Yeah.
Fuck if I remember who that is. I don't think she's from the Street Fighter franchise.
She a crossover character? I seriously don't know. There's just too many cooks on the Street Fighter 4 roster. Or Street Fighter... My mind keeps going back to Street Fighter 4 Ultra Edition where it's like there's 100 characters to choose from. It's like it's an episode of too many cooks.
Oh, she was... Abigail was Final Fight and Abigail's actually a dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. An extremely large man with a flat top.
Oh, yeah, is that the picture that I've been seeing?
Oh!
Like ridiculous,
wearing white pants and a chain.
Oh.
Yeah, now that I see the character, I just never realized that was the character's name.
Now that you described, oh, yeah, that's right. It was a model that was Abigail.
I just never remembered that was what the character was named.
Yeah, I just never remember that either.
I always just paid attention to, like, Poison.
But yeah, well, I never knew that her name was Poison either. I was just like... The leather lady with
Poison
the
and Roxy who were
yeah Roxy and Foxy. I didn't know all the names in those games. Sometimes it was there's a big difference between that and like Chun-Li where it's like the name is like huge on the screen as you're choosing it and all that stuff. All right, thank you for helping us sort that all out here. Fighting games, lots of news. Let's talk about some games that are in stores this week, things that you can pick up, maybe some other fighting games this week being released, Loki.
Let's see. So I don't know about any fighting games necessarily this week, but there is some stuff coming out, which, you know, usually this time of year it's pretty next to nothing. So with this week we've got, and I have no idea what these games are, but, actually Children of the Zodiacs, that's on PC, Mac and PlayStation 4, Fallen Legion on Vita and PlayStation 4. Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles on PC and PlayStation 4. And then we've got Lone Echo on PC. And then, of course, on Friday, Splatoon 2 on the Switch. That's it.
I'll be picking that up. Even if I only played like two rounds of Splatfest, I still want to pick up the phone.
And as I mentioned, of course, this week as well, you know, in our rapid fire news, Super Hot and Super Hot VR on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR.
Nice. Let's go to Japan right now. Let's get a plane. Go to Japan right now. What do you say, Dark Sakura?
Japan.
All right. Speaking of fighting games. Let's see. Not a lot of releases this week on the PlayStation 4, but you do have Under Night In Birth X Late Street comes out this week in Japan. That's on the PlayStation 4. The Vita has some more stuff. Rabbit Cross Labyrinth, Puzzle Out Stories. Farming Simulator 18. I know y'all hype about that. And Dragon Ball Z, Battle of Z, gets a price reduction. It goes into the Welcome Price Edition from Bandai Namco. So there is that.
I welcome that price.
I always welcome a good sale. The Switch gets some releases in Japan this week. Cars 3 gets its release on the Switch, but also Fate Extella. That is also in a multi-language edition, so theoretically you could import that if you want. Something you can't import unless you have a Japanese 3DS are some of these releases, including Yo-Kai Watch 3, Tempura, and Sushi, also getting price reductions. Those games have been out, but they're getting a price reduction this week. That's only going to cost you $24 to import them, so I think those are down to like probably like $18 right now, so that's a pretty good deal. Farming Simulator 18 also getting its release on 3DS this week, however. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
In the UK, we have a few things. On the 18th, we have Strike Vector EX and Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles. Those are only on PlayStation 4 and PC. Strike Vector EX is PC only. On the 19th, we have What Remains of Edith Finch for Xbox One. And on the 20th, Fate/Extel, the Umbral Star for Switch. That is it.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag. Every week, you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails. And we dive into the mailbag and pull out our favorite emails to read here on the show. When I say favorite, we really do. We read them all, unless it's like spam or it says don't read this on air at the top.
Then we read it extra loudly twice.
Here in studio amongst ourselves.
Yes, and then laugh.
All right. Let's get to it. Participate at orangelaungeradio.com. What's in the mailbag, Dark Soccer?
Hello, LR.
Hi.
Hi, YYR. I just have a few short responses to last week's episode. Rob, your desire to voice a character in a game someday has been heard. I have nothing further to announce at this time, but please stay tuned. Insert evil laughter here.
Yay!
And no, Rob, you're not getting too old for conventions. If you start to feel that you are, though, just do what I do and act approximately half your age.
I do that on a daily, so...
You do that when you do dailies.
That's right.
That's it. Have a great week. Keep on smiling, Aaron YYR.
Wow, that really was a short email from YYR. But YYR, like, makes dreams come true. I think YYR should be, like, he's the genie. He's the official genie of OLR. He makes our wishes come true.
With this long email?
He made a game out of poop for you, Dark Sakura.
Yes, he did.
Tell us that's not the OLR genie right there.
That was my dream game.
All right.
Well, hey, now we've got Pixel the new poops. Genie, of course. You know, that's going to be Will Smith.
That's right. I heard that. Hey, the movie, here's the only thing I don't like. I don't really give a crap about the casting and all that stuff, although, you know, that's great.
I want that new Marvel trailer, damn it. Next week, I guess.
Why? Every single movie from the 90s that Disney did in animation, they're going back and doing live.
We've run out of ideas.
Except The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid is the one movie they haven't done committed to yet. But Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, like they're doing them all live. They're
because
doing them all live
Beauty
now.
And the Beast made them money, and they're like, cha-ching, we're done.
And Bobby Blackwolf in chat pointing out, you voiced Flappy Vog with a sad face.
I didn't
play a character in that game. I was myself.
And I recorded my lines in the rain in my car, far away from my office building, so no one can hear me making those voices. And then on top of that, I was going to say that the, what was it? What was the other Disney trailer that they had? The
Oprah Winfrey one.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
That looked fucking awesome. And I love that song in the trailer.
Sweet Dreams cover. Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
What was it? A Wrinkle in Time? Was that
the
name of the
movie? Yeah, that looks awesome. I remember that book being creepy and the trailer was creepy. So I'm going to assume it's creepy.
If you didn't see that trailer for Wrinkle in Time, and I never get out to movies either. I hardly watch any TV. I hardly ever see movies. I want to go see that Wrinkle in Time. But I want to point out, sorry, I know you got an email to get to. The only movie that fucking matters next year, mark a calendar, circle it, Mamma Mia 2 in July. Yeah, it's really happened. They cast young Meryl Streep and everything. Yep.
Is there a sequel to the play?
No.
How about I read the next email?
Who cares? ABBA and...
Evening, Rob, Jamie, and Loki. First of all, let me say happy 15th. By the way, this is from Rama. This email I have been meaning to send to y'all a couple weeks ago, but life came first. Don't you just hate that? But anywho, there's a few things I do want to say. This email is kind of long, meaningful, but long. Thanks, Ranma. Hearts. First of all, if it wasn't for OLR, there would not be an anime jam session. Truthfully, I hate writing. I feel that writing, I am not able to get my thoughts down well. It's either too long or too short. Podcasting allows me to get my thoughts out verbally, and I feel like it works out so well, so well better. Okay. Podcasting.
Clearly not a good writer. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. No. I, and you know what? I'm joking because I'm right there with you Rama, I feel this exact same way. I do not like reading what I write. Yet in a corporate environment, I'm okay.
I like writing much better than talking.
But even then, I always feel like I'm a better talker.
That's why my blog hasn't been put up yet. It's GoDaddy's fault. Anyway. Podcasting has given, he said, men an extended life on going to conventions. As much as I love cosplaying, I've kind of burnt out on it. I worked as a vendor, and it wasn't for me. Now going to cons, cosplaying for a few, but then wearing my Vogue Network t-shirt, taking pictures, watching cosplayers smile when I take their pictures, and coming in on Tuesday nights to talk about my experiences. Secondly, if it wasn't for y'all and Travis, I would not be able to teach others I know on podcasting. I tell people that you don't need expensive, top-of-the-line equipment. It surprises some people when I show off my equipment that it does not say Razer or some other fancy name. To be fair, I do have a pair of Astro A40s I use, but I've been using when I have been using for the past 3 to 4 years. I've told people that this podcast is a labor of love. Everyone that works with me gives up some of their free time to help do the show, write articles, and other great things for us. I don't even know how much I've spent on doing this podcast. If I could take a guess, it would have to be over $5,000. I do not regret a single penny of it because this is a labor of love. I really don't look at my numbers to see how popular the show is unless I need it for a press application. And Rob, bless and testify. It makes my blood boil when I see other independent podcasts / media outlets going to Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Patreon to raise funds. You don't need a lot of money to have the best hardware or software because truthfully, one could have that and it could still come up short. Also, my staff has full-time jobs, so if make tiers to cover these conventions, there's no promise that my staffers can get that time off. I have enough funds to cover said con, let alone interview people at that convention. My Google Foo is weak, so I can't look up that show you were talking about, but I agree with your thoughts on it.
Ask me off air. I'm not starting a fight on air.
There's another podcasting site that does something similar every year on Kickstarter. I'm not going to say it either. For BlizzCon, and it burns me. If my fans want to send me to a con, great. But I will never ask them for a handout to do it. I will, just saying.
Okay, can I address a couple of things here real quick? Sorry, it gives you a break in the email. The Blizzard thing that he linked, I actually looked at, and it is actually, see, there's a difference here, and this is why I wanted to call it out. At least the particular thing that he linked in the email was actually a Kickstarter I've donated to a couple years ago, because this Kickstarter was not about send XYZ person to said expo, but it was about let's do a pre-party, basically, for the expo. And there's, you know, I recognize that shit does cost money to do, you know, they have to rent the ballroom and all this stuff. And so, you know, I think when it comes to like those types of Kickstarters and stuff, that's fine. And even at the end of the day, you know what? I understand that some people want to have a goal be to like, I want to get to, we'll say PAX. I want to go to PAX, Penny Arcade Expo. And so, you know, if my listeners will help me collect the money, then I can actually go. And at the end of the day, whatever you want to spend your money on is your business. And I kind of feel that same way with the Patreon and stuff. I'm not... If podcasters want to go on Patreon, cool. That's a choice for you, the podcaster, and your audience, ultimately, what they want to spend their money on. Cool. Like, that's fine. Where my feathers got ruffled with that Kickstarter was because they set a number that, in my humble opinion, from all the years of doing this, was way too fucking high. And the way it kind of came off was that without this money, we can't do a podcast. And that is specifically what ticked me off about that whole thing. Because I'm like, you can do a podcast for nothing. You want this money because you want nice studio equipment. You want the nice to haves, not the need to haves. That was the difference. But if somebody wants to do a Patreon, a Kickstarter, a Twitch tip bucket for the nice to haves, well, who am I to complain? But here's the thing with the Patreon again. I even with Twitch, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. Like, you know, my Twitch channel recently opened up so that people can subscribe. And I think I have 4 or 5 subscribers right now, which is awesome. The fact that even one person wanted to subscribe is fucking awesome. But I haven't been able to do much streaming in the past 2 weeks because of, you guys know, I'm going through some real serious personal stuff right now with my mom and my family and stuff. And it's not getting better, and that's all I'm going to say on it right now. But I almost feel like guilty that I'm not streaming more, because I'm thinking in my mind, like, fuck, I have subscribers. Like, they're paying money and using their Twitch Prime to do it. And I know at the end of the day, these people that are, I know they're not, like, they totally understand. I know reasonably everybody knows why I haven't been doing as much of that stuff recently. It's just this weird, like, I can't explain it, you guys. It's just this weird mental block I have that it's like, when you are giving me money, I feel a bit of liability to produce content for said money. Does that make sense? And that's what's held me back personally from the Patreon thing for a long time, is that if we were to start to take money for doing OLR, but then let's say some life circumstance happens and we have to end OLR in 2 weeks. I don't know about you guys, but I would feel real guilty about taking that money, because then OLR would be over. Does that make sense where my head is at with that? That's, anyway, that's my whole thing. But if somebody wants to raise the money to go on a trip, I don't know if I want to put myself out there like that, but if somebody else wants to do it and you want to give them money, all right, y'all know what you're buying, y'all know what you're funding, cool, that's on y'all. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that, Jamie, sorry. Thank you for letting me.
Well, I was halfway through the paragraph and he did comment on what you already commented on.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
I know that these people are more than just BlizzCon, they host a party and much, much more, but Come on, we all know where half that money goes. Hell, I see cosplayers doing this too, just to get new costumes or to do exotic shoots, etc. I don't like it, but if they want to do this, these people want to give them money, let them. I'm going to be over here doing it my way. It's one thing where fans give you a few dollars to support you. It's another thing when you beg for it. And yeah, this one's to me. And yes, Jamie, I do agree that it's hard when one of us aren't around for Tuesday night. Ari has mentioned for how much of our show is a part of him, and us not being here throws him off. For me, it's ingrained in my Tuesday night routine. After work, I get Buffalo Wild Wings, do a little shopping at Target/Stop and Shop, go home, watch NCIS or SmackDown Live for an hour, hop on Skype, quick prep and go. Thank you for playing our little anniversary clip. I would have put it in Dropbox, but I didn't think Rob would check it before the show. My bad. I've said it once, I've said it again, OLR is more than a podcast. We're a family. There has been many times that you, Rob, have brought important topics to the table that we should be in the know about. And that's an amazing thing. You have been there for me a couple of times when I needed it. And Jamie can tell you that she's been there for me a few times. And on that same token, I am there for y'all. I will defend Rob, Jamie, and Matt until my last breath, because y'all's family. Aww. And like I said before, I love doing this. I love investing all the time, money, effort, hard work into it, just so that other people see and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And when I wake up one day and say it's time to wrap it up, so be it. I've had fun doing this for 8 or so years. I think I've got another 8 in me. I think that's all I have to say about that. Love always. I don't know if you want us to use your first name, so I'll just say Ranma.
That was a really great email. Thank you. And that's really all I can say succinctly. I have feels too.
I have a lot of feelings about this.
Emails like that are worth way more than a few biddies.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to complain about the biddies. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, emails like that, that's all the kickstart I need.
But I'm still waiting for a taco. I just want a taco. All right, last email. This comes from MXC. Hi, MXC in chat. Do you folks have any thoughts about that upcoming Dream Daddy dad dating simulator game?
It looks funny. I hear it got delayed, though, I think.
For me personally, it really bugs me how the marketing of the game attempts to sell the concept as utterly wacky, a la Hatoful Boyfriend, and the idea of dating pigeons. Then there's the Game Grumps Association, which also worries me, given they aren't necessarily known for being great LGBT advocates historically. With that said, the developers have stated Dream Daddy is actually a serious story of a single father looking for love, which could be a great story for an indie visual novel to tell if treated with all respect. Just curious what you think about it. We'll see if Dream Daddy is any good when it launches next week. Regards to MXC.
Oh, I guess it didn't get delayed. I thought it already got delayed.
It was supposed to come out earlier this week, and then they bumped it to Wednesday. I think it's the new date.
Well, that's not much of a delay, but it...
No. Yeah. It's really hard for me to tell. I've certainly heard a lot about it. There's a lot of talk on Twitter about it, and certainly the Game Grumps Association, I know that, which which I must admit I've actually never seen, but I know it's very popular with the kids. So I know that association is getting it like more increased visibility and so forth. Certainly, you know, I have some slight reservations because I don't want it to be a joke. You know, I'm pushing 40 years old. I may not have kids, but I got a kitty. So I might be one of the dream daddies in this scenario, and my life isn't a fucking joke. So, but that being said, my understanding is that they have LGBT folks actually working on the game, that they are getting the consultation with that and all that. So I'm keeping an open mind that it can be done respectfully. And if that's the case, then cool. Like, then that actually might end up being really fucking awesome that, you know, a group like that's very popular with the YouTube generation and all this stuff kind of uses that power for representation. And as we said at the beginning of the show, representation matters, but just not when it's a joke. So as long as the game isn't a joke, which it doesn't, I'm not getting that vibe from a lot of the things I'm seeing from it. So we'll see. I'll wait till the game's out and then I'll let y'all know how I felt.
Well, we did also have one more email that I had missed the first time around. So
that's okay.
If we've got time for me to read it.
Of course.
Hey, OLR. Hope all is well. I wanted to talk about the Evo reveals for a bit. Summer Showdown 5 special for PS4 Vita. Sick. This seems to be the uncut version and hopefully the port is good. I haven't seen any Evo footage of it yet, but I'll definitely get it as it's one of the very few fighting games I'm actually competent in. And I am stuck with the damn boot. Hold on.
Dar Sakura is having to rearrange her positioning a little bit because her boot got stuck between the table and the chair.
Well,
I
have
think we're all good now.
The table moved forward so that I can prop up the boot on it.
Yeah.
It's just hard to move the thing around.
That's all right.
BlazBlue cross tag battle. Yes, Lord, count me in. Not often that you get BlazBlue Ruby Persona 4, and especially under Night in Birth EXE late characters into one game for Slugfest. I'm pumped. I haven't played Anime Fighters in quite some time, but shit, take my money and let's rock. Geese Howard in Tekken 7. Predictable! I expected Wei Wulong, but Geese is a great addition. Bandai Namco did say they were going to add more guest characters, and they made a good impression so far. Can't imagine who the next character will be. EX Fighting Lair. Well, it's definitely not a hoax. Slated to come out next year with a beta at the end of 2017. Wasn't too big into the Street Fighter EX series, but this looks pretty good. At least Skullamania is in it. I love Skullamania.
So they're remaking the 3D fighting game?
I reckon.
Cool.
But I also liked playing Hokuto. MVC Infinite. It was good to see Jetta in action, but I feel more needs to be shown from the game. It's out in 2 months, and we haven't received any official demonstration about the last two Infinity Gems, Mind and Soul. I don't know that your Mind Gem Infinity Surge creates a copy of your character that mimics your attacks. The Soul Gem Infinity Surge revives your knocked out character. That makes sense since your knocked out character doesn't fade away. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Future Trunks, fuck yes. Just sign me up. More info for beta is coming on July 26th. Okay, you know what I want for this? If they put in Future Trunks, I want him to have his music from the other games. It has to be there because that would make me super happy. I feel that 2018 will be a great year for fighters. The lineup is pretty diverse and there's something for everyone. What are your thoughts? Also, Dark Sakura, I'd like to play you some time in some fighters. Feel free to add me on PSN, Steam, or Xbox Live. I will probably add you, but I'm going to let you know right now I cannot play like I used to play. Not since having 3 surgeries on my right hand. So, fair warning, you'll probably kick my butt. But I would love to play sometime. I'll just have to get back into practice. Although usually, because I just don't bother signing Dan out anymore, I'm usually logged in on PS4 under Dan's name. So, Rob, I hope your mom gets better. She's in my thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
Loki, I love your rants, by the way. If I'm ever in NorCal, I'll buy you three a beer. Thanks for taking the time to read my email, and have a great week, Needle Crash. Thank you, Needle Crash.
To respond to the question about the fighting, you know, how 2018 looks for fighters, I must admit, I feel like somewhere along the way, I kind of slipped out of playing as many fighting games as I used to. I'm still hoping for that Smash Brothers on Switch. That's the thing I really want more than anything. right now. But I need to. I do want to check out Tekken 7. And the Geese Howard thing even kind of made me perk up and go, oh yeah, I never did get Tekken 7 when it first came out. I gotta keep my eye on that. So I might pick that up at some point, especially if I catch it on another sale. I think it was just on sale on PlayStation and I missed it. But I do want to check out Tekken 7 at some point. So I don't know. I don't do as well with the 3D stuff, but I know there's some good 2D fighters out there still too. Well, Blaze Blue is still 2D and all that stuff, right? So I need to play more.
I'm probably still looking forward to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big one. I just look at every time I watch the videos of people playing it, I'm like,
I'm going to crack and get Street Fighter V at some point. It's just a matter of time. It's kind of surprising I've gone this long without buying it, but I just haven't. So at some point, I'm going to finally get Street Fighter V.
When the Game of the Year edition comes out.
Exactly. When the final edition with all the crap. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. Anyway, thank you guys for the emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails if you want to have an email read in the future. In the meantime, we have a few more stories for you guys before we get to calls at Orange Lounge Radio. Loki.
Hey, more talk about VR. Actually, this is a little bit talk about Unity as well, because Unity just rolled out. They showed off, I want to say it was during one of their Unite conferences, but they had it's now Unity 2017. So they dropped the whole 4.5 moniker for that, and now they have this whole 2017 thing, which includes a lot of cool stuff, their new cinematic content timeline features, as well as adding support for NVIDIA VRWorks to render VR more efficiently. So what does that do exactly? So they have, like, for example, support for multi-res shading, which they say is a technique that it renders basically the main parts of your display, so everything that you're kind of looking at, in a higher resolution than, say, the outside edges, where the distortion would kind of, you know, make it look a little bit messed up anyway. So they render that less with a less resolution, so that it's not as noticeable, I guess, a little bit faster. They said lens matching shading, also single pass stereo, or in the new simultaneous multi projection architecture. And VRSLI, so performance when there's multiple GPUs, or better performance. Neat. A lot of stuff I probably won't end up using unless I someday decide to develop a VR game. But I download it, of course.
It kind of still ties into the whole fact that VR is just growing and growing as it gets more accessible.
Absolutely.
To make for in Unity. I mean, that's kind
of... Well, they sell most, like I would say, like a vast majority of the content out there is made with Unity for VR. So it's, I don't know, it's definitely out there.
All right. Well, there's a fan-made project out there that I can't believe hasn't already been cease and desisted by the time we're doing this show, but it hasn't. It's out there, so you might want to go grab it.
Download it now.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, this is I guess you could say it's been inspired a little bit by Mario Maker, but this is a game featuring Mega Man. That's right. It's Mega Maker. Actually, I don't think the game is out. It's just a trailer that's out right now.
And that's how you not do it.
Yeah, exactly. Mega Maker is using assets from Mega Man 1 through 6, I guess over 100 different tile sets, 12 Robot Masters, original chiptune-inspired soundtracks made by Cosmic Gem. That's pretty cool. The game itself will be free, and I guess they're trying to do that. So that,
actually, you know, it is available for download.
If they charge for it, they're gonna get screwed on that. So this has been in development since September of 2016. So there you go. Because it was set to launch on July 15th, which
it's,
was yesterday.
mega-maker.com, and
nice.
You can check it out.
And I would grab that now before. I mean, granted, Capcom isn't Nintendo, but I don't know, y'all. When somebody does Mega Man Universe. The way we all thought Mega Man Universe was going to happen, when somebody just kind of like did that, I don't know. It may not last very long through the lawyers, so be careful. Or who knows, maybe that one gal that's doing all the cease and desisting will cease and desist this too, because somehow...
She'll think that she owns
Mega Man. Somebody did a chiptune of one of her songs in the game, and then it'll all be over. So just I go grab that as soon as you can.
No, I see. I was trying to read a little bit more about this here. It doesn't really show a whole ton. However, I did see that there's a part here, like other things you can download that come with it. Warp World, which is for Twitch integration. So I'm wondering if that's some sort of like where they have Twitch chat integration or something.
Oh, maybe, because that's a big thing on Mario Maker is that people will like play my level and here's my code. And then, you know, they go play the levels. So, which, by the way, I'm going to be doing on tonight's OLR post stream. I haven't done the post stream myself in like a month, so I'm doing it tonight. And I'm going to play Mario Maker. So, and I am willing to play some of y'all's levels, so get the codes. However, I am not interested in hell levels.
So I was going to say, you don't want to play Jigsaw's Castle of Carnage?
If the whole point of your level is me dying 500 times, just don't bother, because I'm going
to
turn it off.
It's not impossible when you compare it to like some of the other levels. I did pass it a few times. But yeah, it's very hard.
All right. So anyhow, but I'm willing to play your standard difficulty or lower Mario Maker levels. But we'll get into that after the show. In the meantime, we have some more news to get to, including a little callback, right, Dark Sakura?
I guess.
Yes, a callback. Yes. Yeah, something, because you already brought this up earlier in the show, sort of.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, is it my turn?
Yep.
Sorry, I was yelling at someone on the internet.
Sometimes it has to be done.
Well, I was bringing up the ZX Spectrum earlier. Now, another thing that people may or may not know about me, I'm a fucking big Radiohead fan. And Radiohead did something really, really cool. With their re-release of OK Computer, which was a great album, by the way. And this re-release costs £100. They have an art book, a collection of notes that were penned by Tom York, who is a very interesting individual to read his blog, a limited edition vinyl of the album, and a C90 cassette. Now, the C90 cassette has a bunch of Radiohead demos, but the last 2 minutes of it is computer screeching. You know, when they tell you, this is a PlayStation Black Disc. Do not play the first track. Thank you, Alucard. Anyway, people ran it through a ZX Spectrum emulator and found out that it's messages from the band. Congratulations, you found the secret message of Sid Lives? And then it says, we should get out more. So there you go. It is a little Easter egg for those who were fans of the ZX Spectrum.
I love that. I would love to do, you know, don't be surprised if in the future at the end of an OLR episode, there's some screeching and it'll end up being a Commodore 64 tape.
And it'll just be me complaining.
Yes, yeah, so it'll be a typed Loki rant, or I'll just insert, you know, I ain't ever had a sugar daddy, but if I wanted a sugar daddy, I could get one because I am what, bitch? Sickening. I think I'll just put that at the end of one of the episodes in a Commodore 64 format.
Mine would just be incoherently screaming.
But that's that. You don't have to put the tape in a Commodore 64 to hear that, Dark Sakura. All right.
What's on my fan?
Two owls.
Owls will kill a bitch. No.
All right.
Hearts, love.
I know.
Forever.
What's on my fan? I have a big middle finger with a political statement
underneath
it.
Mine's cute because it has owls on it.
All right. Moving on. Loki, what do you have?
So, of course, Pokemon Go is going to be having its first event pretty soon, actually, in Chicago.
Saturday.
Yep. So with that, of course, not everybody can make it to Chicago to play Pokemon Go. So they have stuff going on in case you're not nearby. So if you are in Chicago, of course, you'll be able to that day. I guess they're going to have different time challenges and you'll have to collect certain types of Pokemon. And apparently, if they catch enough during those windows, they can unlock perks for players globally. And during those periods, players who aren't in the area can extend the length of those unlocked bonuses by catching their own Pokemon during those times. And I guess if you catch enough monsters worldwide, another secret challenge will be unveiled in Chicago, which could unlock an extra special bonus across the globe. It's going to be another fucking hat. I know it. fucking Pikachu hat.
I think it's going to be a legendary monster will show up at gyms around the world. That's what I think it'll be. There was a leak of something from the iTunes India store or something.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That was an ad that said, now featuring raids and first legendary Pokemon. So the legendaries are fucking happening on Saturday. It's just a matter of
and
how they roll
be in
out.
All the gyms.
Yeah, that's what they'll do.
And you'll get a legendary, and you'll get a legendary.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it'll necessarily be like Articuno and the three. It might be Mewtwo, though. I think Mewtwo is a good candidate for who's going to get unleashed. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? Anything can happen. But all I have to say, if you are lucky enough to be going to the Chicago event, if you're going to Grant Park on Saturday, you need to fucking unlock the Stardust bonus. That should be your number one priority. That's the one fucking thing we don't get enough of in the game. Stardust, Stardust, Stardust. You better be fucking getting us the Stardust bonus. That's all I have to say.
So what bonuses are they supposed to have?
There's a little mini poster out there somewhere, and I don't have it in front of me. But one, like, it's like if they catch grass Pokemon, it's a Stardust bonus. Another one is like walking, like reduces the distance for walking. Another one is like, I don't know. There's just a bunch of stuff. Pretty much all of them have been in a holiday event previously, except the Stardust thing. That's why I'm like, you need to get the fucking Stardust, because that you cannot have enough Stardust ever. So, yeah. And it's harder to even get it now. I mean, you can kind of get started.
Okay, so if you do fire types, it's a candy bonus.
Not you, Chicago.
Chicago
has to
yeah,
do this.
So
yeah.
They do fire types is a candy bonus. Water types is an XP bonus. Grass type is a Stardust bonus.
Grass. Get all the grass. It's a park.
Electric is egg distance bonus. Rock is buddy distance bonus. And whatever the hell that is, I guess that's normal, is encounter rate bonus. And then they're saying that rewards, bronze is increased bonus duration by 24 hours, silver 48 hours, and gold mystery challenge unlocked.
Hmm.
And
I'm going to go out on Saturday and play just to kind of contribute to this. And, you know, it's a good excuse to go out for a walk. So
I'll play, I guess.
There you go. Help contribute. Yeah, SSG100 Matt says, I'm tired of saving 2 months worth of Stardust and spending it on leveling up a Pokemon twice. Exactly. We need a Stardust bonus. Bad. So make that happen. All right. One more story for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. And it has to do with, okay, so have y'all been to the gas station? Like, I don't know. I don't think it's a particular, like, I don't know if it's like Chevron or 76 or whatever, but you go in the gas station and let's say you buy something at the store, mm-hmm. and when they ring you up, it makes the sonic ring noise.
Yes, I've noticed
you
that.
You notice that? Okay. Cause like I love that. Like whenever I'm in the gas station, I hear that. And apparently the reason why that happens, I never knew this, but apparently the reason why that happens, this has to do with Sega's ties to Pachinko. And so through the pachinko mechanisms, this got licensed to some of those systems, okay? Now there's a new one that's hitting gas stations. It's not the sonic noise, but what it is, it's the Song of Time from Zelda.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? It's not at their cash register. It's apparently at a car wash. Somebody posted this to Reddit, and check this out. I'll play the video here. It's not the best quality, but if we listen carefully, you can hear it. Oh, it's not even playing. That's why. If the video will play on my end, we could hear it. Except this is going to hang up on me live on air. Let me try this one more time. I'm going to reload the page.
Reload.
And try to play that for you. But yeah, you can actually, and this video is floating around the internet. It's over on Reddit. It's actually somebody pulled up at a car wash, and the car wash is actually playing the Song of Time. Let's see if I can get it to go one more time here. And maybe they took down the video. I don't know. But yeah, it's not playing for me now.
It's probably your computer.
Yeah, it's probably this old computer I used to broadcast the show. But, well, you'll just have to believe me. It's playing from the little car wash thing. So it's funny, but I don't think Nintendo would ever license their stuff like that. So it's so weird that something like that showed up in one of those car wash things. So SSG100 Matt points out Song of Storms would have made sense, but I'll take it. Yeah, exactly. When you go in that car wash.
Oh, there it goes. I was going to say, to be fair, it's not playing on mine either. But
Finally started?
It's really shitty.
Yeah, all it is somebody playing. You know, they're holding up their cell phone as they're at the car wash. It's not the best quality.
No.
But somebody posted a link in our chat. I just thought it was funny. All right, I thought it was funny. It's on Reddit, in the Zelda Reddit, if you want to see it for yourself. Anyway. Fine. I just want an excuse to talk about the sonic ring noise at gas stations. Because, come on, video games IRL. Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call and talk about whatever you'd like. Something you saw that's been going on in gaming news this week or something else that tickles your fancy. In the meantime, I'm going to check in with Loki to see if there's any last-minute stories.
No, but
there was one thing I didn't put on show roll that I thought you might cover. The Star Wars AR. I guess you addressed that.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah. I guess I'll talk about that. So, yeah, one of the weird things that they showed during D23 is that Lenovo and Disney are making an AR headset, which is like, what the hell? So they're making like almost like a HoloLens in one of the games.
So Disney Infinity didn't work out, so let's put out another peripheral.
So let's put out, this. Mm. And so what, of course, the first thing that they're going to use with it is Star Wars. And so they actually, it comes with like a lightsaber with like a, like imagine like a stubby, you know, beam on it, and I guess in the game it adds all the all the extra stuff in there, and it's supposed to be, from what I gathered, the training thing that like Luke did with like the blast shield, and you know how he's fighting the little drone robot thing. So it's supposed to be like training that and stuff. I'm just always, you know, don't get me wrong, like AR sounds cool, and I hope that this is cheap, and I hope it's good, but after Kinect Star Wars, I'm always wary. Motion Star Wars games. I'm like, I don't know.
After Star Wars Kinect?
You know, Star Wars Kinect. I'm like, man, you were willing to put your name on that.
Chewbacca dancing on Han Solo.
To be fair, I think that was before LucasArts was purchased by Disney. So hopefully.
That was before LucasArts was
purchased. Hopefully their standards are much
making
higher.
Better decisions, let's say.
But I'm interested to see what it is. I know Lenovo's getting into, I think they're doing VR headsets too for like Windows holographic and stuff. So I'm curious to see how expensive it is, what software is on there, because I'm not buying a platform if it's just like one game or some shit. You know, I need this to have some actual games with it.
Let me do another shout out for shout out for our Skype line, Orange Lounge Radio. It's open right now if you want to give us a call. All one word on Skype.
The other thing too is they showed off some actual video. So one of the other things that they had was like Star Wars, like there's like a battle going on in your living room. It did look kind of janky. So I'm guessing that was real footage that they're showing and not like, you know, this HoloLens footage that,
or like the Pokemon
looks
Go
way better.
The original Pokemon Go trailer.
Yeah, the Pokemon Go trailer. Yeah. Like it looked like real footage. So, I mean, definitely go check it out if you are interested in find out more about that. The footage that they showed is interesting, I guess. It's kind of gimmicky.
Kaijudo in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says it would be cool if they made like FaceTime app in AR that shows your friends as Star Wars holograms. Well, if Snapchat can do all that stupid shit.
That was one of the things that they're talking about. Like, they're with the Star Wars, you know, we've had holograms and stuff in Star Wars, and we wanted to make that like into your, you know, house, be it like, you know, that. And one of the games that they announced for that was that 4D chess thing that they had, like that. It's in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, in the cantina, yeah.
Yeah, so you're supposed to be playing AR chess and stuff. You could do that.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know. It's all right. I didn't get too excited about that. I wasn't like, oh, shit, I got to buy that. I was like, kind of, wow, they're making a headset? That's weird. And then the Marvel thing is kind of like, that's neat.
All right, one more call out for calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. I guess everybody's watching the Chairs of Swords and all that stuff. So there you go. anything else, Loki?
No, but Mega Maker looks pretty cool.
Did you already download it and fire it up?
I downloaded it. I'm looking at the screenshots, though. I'm curious to see how the level sharing works in that.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
But, I mean, I could see this as something that streamers will be playing around with.
I'm sure. Well, but can Twitch make a category for it? I don't think they can. I guess it could probably have to be in, like, other. Because it's not... I think Capcom's going to take issue to it. We'll see. Maybe Capcom will embrace it. Maybe they'll say, oh, this is publicity. Can you put an ad for Mega Man Legacy in the beginning of it?
Honestly, I'm surprised that they didn't put out something like this.
I missed opportunity. I know.
They still have the license for Mega
Man. Well, and Mega Man Universe kind of looked like that's what it was going to be. Yeah. We'll never know.
And, you know, not really gaming related necessarily, but they did release the first shot of Ready Player One, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, San Diego Comic-Con, they're going to have a Ready Player One movie panel with Steven Spielberg. I'm hoping for a trailer.
Oh, there'll be a trailer. You got to get
shot. But, yeah, it is coming out next March, so I am very excited by that.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. They showed, like, he's got... his you know, trailer that he's in with his headset and the haptic gloves, and he's got like a omnidirectional treadmill thing in the fucking sweet.
All right, we'll see when Comic-Con. Yeah, so we had D23 this week. Comic-Con's next week. I mean, there's a lot of conventions. Cool, I should have mentioned this in housekeeping, but I'll mention it now. Dragon Con is only like 6 weeks away, and of course, if you're anywhere near Atlanta, you should be going to this event, because certainly Bobby Blackwolf and I will be there. I think there will be some other VOG folks there as well. I'm pretty sure John's coming, and I think Brian from British Invaders is coming this year. I think I saw on Facebook. But don't hold me to that, because I have a bad memory sometimes. But there will certainly be some other VOG personalities there, and yeah, very excited. I don't know what panels, but I know there will be at least a panel. There should be at least one panel, and hopefully a few more, so that'll be fun. And just hanging out. No Parsecs this year, which is unfortunate. They've moved that to virtual. But that just means another night I don't have to be sober. Because for the Parsecs, I had to be sober.
So, no, you didn't.
Well, yeah, that's true. I didn't have to. But I'm a professional, Loki. I'm a professional.
You just called out the wrong name. That's what they do in the major like award ceremonies anyways.
I wanted to be asked back in future years. But now I don't have to worry about that. So there you go. All right. Well, our phones aren't lighting up. I guess y'all are being shy, or you're multitasking, doing your TV and your HBOs and all that.
They put out the trailer for Dragon Ball FighterZ showing Future Trunks.
Oh, yeah? Oh, from Evo?
Yeah. Nice. It's pretty nice.
SSJ100 Matt also pointing out, speaking of conventions, MAGFest registration, including hotels, will be going up soon. Seems like August. Yes, I love what they're doing with MAGFest hotels. They needed to do this years ago. They are now going to require a one-night deposit on the Gaylord up front. And they're only sending the link for hotel reservations, which everybody has a unique one. So you can't just like send the link to all your friends. They're sending the link for hotel registration when you buy a ticket. So no, none of this like everybody mass trying to reserve on day one just to hold it and then cancel it the day of. So I love what they're doing there for MAGFest. That's great. And so I'm excited. I'm hoping MAGFest isn't guaranteed for me, y'all. It is not a guarantee right now. It just depends on a lot of factors. I want to make it happen, but right now it's not a guarantee, but it's definitely on my list. But I'll let you know as things develop. So it is a long way for me, though. Remember, guys.
About that trailer, by the way.
Yeah.
I reposted it to my Facebook fan page.
Fun.
So I'll link it in the chat.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think we are going to wrap things up here at Orange Lounge Radio. I know it's a little bit of a shorter show tonight, but we mentioned it was going to be lighter on the news, and those things happen. So we're going to wrap it up, though. We'll be back in 7 days to talk about whatever gaming news might kind of come out of Comic-Con or whatever
I'm
happens.
I'm sure it'll be something.
There should be something. Whatever happens during the week. And
I hope we find out something like, I mean, it's been, we haven't heard anything yet, but remember that whole Square Enix Marvel thing?
I imagine that's still kind of early in development, and that may be hiding out till E3 next year still.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. I'm not going to get my hopes up too much on that. But yeah, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see that. We'll see. All right. That's it. We're done. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio. As we always say here at Orange Lounge Radio, if you enjoyed what you heard, I'm not going to ask for your money. I mean, if you want to send money, I have a Twitch channel, and I think other folks have ways you can contact them as well.
I have money. There
you uses. Go. There you go. However, all we really ask is that you tell a friend or five about the show. Spread the word, because we're the show where every gamer has a voice. But if we got more people, maybe there'd be people that want to call in instead of watching Game of Thrones or whatever. So yeah, just help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is you found this show, that goes a long way as well. So we really appreciate those. That's going to do it, though. But first, final thoughts.
I'd like to add, if people do want to give anything less than 5, feel free to do so, but let us know why. If you're going to leave feedback, be constructive.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, and, you know, I always say 5-star reviews because those are the ones that help. But if you're going to leave something less, that's fine. But not, like, because they suck. Like, that doesn't do anything.
That's why I said leave constructive feedback.
Or the one that – I don't think it was on this show. I think it was on Horde House, and that was still around. Somebody left a 1-star review saying another show was better. And then I looked on that guy's reviews, and it was all – 1-star reviews on different Warcraft shows that this other show is better. And I was just like, wow, you just made that other show look like a shithole. if that's how you want to promote it. Don't you ever do that in the name of OLR. I swear to God. I say support indie podcasts, all of them. If this isn't a five-star show for you, there's no shortage
Guys on the show was better.
There's no shortage of video game shows out there
but
for you to check out.
But my point is that if you're going to leave a review of any kind, leave feedback on it.
Sure.
Leave what you like, what you don't like. Because no, on any show out there, no one is going to know how to improve unless you leave your feedback. And make sure that you're not a shithole about it. Make sure that you are not a dick.
And if it is going to be one-star feedback, you could always just email it to us. Participate at orangesoundsradio.com. You don't have to post it on iTunes for everybody to see. All right. All right. But you can, I'm just saying, you can email us directly, DarSoccer, with that feedback. You don't have to post it. Anyway, that's really going to do it, though. It's time to get everybody's final thoughts. Loki, your final thought.
I'm going to try to work on my game some more. I'm going to try. No guarantees, because
we all know better.
My capacity for being able to program late at night varies greatly.
My final thought is I'm just about to the point in Final Fantasy XII where I'm going to pass how far I went on PlayStation 2, so I'm really excited about that, and I'm going to keep playing more of that this week. So don't be surprised if next week's How Was Your Gaming Week was all about Final Fantasy as well. Dark Sakura, last but not least, your final thought.
I'm going to dedicate a song to a mutual friend of ours. Listen to The Gambler by Kenny Rogers and take it to fucking heart.
All right. That's going to do it then for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Good night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.